AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. A senior U.S. military official says last night's airstrike against a suspected terrorist hideout in the Iraqi city of Fallujah killed about 20 foreign fighters. The attack was aimed at the forces of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. NBC's Tom Aspel in Baghdad says it's apparently the voice of that terrorist leader heard on a new recording.
This morning, an Egyptian website carried an audio tape from the terror network of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi threatening to kill Iraq's interim prime minister.
The voice on the tape promises more attacks until the world is under Islamic rule. Zarqawi is believed responsible for a series of killings in Iraq, including the beheading of a South Korean worker. The new Iraqi prime minister is asking for NATO's help in training his country's security forces. Some NATO countries have been reluctant to get involved. John Negroponte has been sworn in as the new American ambassador to Iraq. He'll oversee a staff of thousands. He had been U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Pinot Grigio. Good for Theo in Pinot Grigio. Made it something you can't resist. It's got to be Abba Mist.
New for summer. Pinot Grigio with a splash of luscious island fruits. So refreshing and only from Arbor Mist.
Oh, in Pinot Grigio. Island fruit Pinot Grigio. Something you can't resist. Only from Abba Mist.
Arbor Mist Winery, Canandaigua, New York.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, mostly sunny and 73 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A Denver townhome caught on fire this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. Let's check traffic first with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound I-25 at Hampden. Report of an accident over on the shoulder with the fire department on the scene. They're checking for injuries. We do have injuries involved in an accident northbound I-25 approaching 6th Avenue. Sounds like something flew from the one side of the highway to the northbound side of the highway and collided with another car. So they'll be out there investigating that one for a while and count on some slowing as well. Mobile unit reported an accident to us northbound on Santa Fe approaching 6th Avenue. That was three cars in the left lane, and that was starting to cause some slowing through there as well. John Elway AutoNation Showrooms with the information. They are celebrating July 4th Independence. Declare independence from your old car, high interest rates, and get the highest factory incentives ever offered. Go to the John Elway Showrooms today. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Two people suffered minor burns and smoke inhalation resulting from a fire in a Denver townhome this morning. Lieutenant Phil Champagne says the fire department first heard of the blaze on South Elster about 6:15 this morning.
They found heavy fire and smoke conditions. It apparently started in the garage area and extended throughout the unit.
Champagne says investigators are still trying to determine the cause of that fire. While nobody was home in the unit where the fire started, the flames did spread through the next-door attic. Those suffering smoke inhalation were treated at the scene and released. This report brought to you by DEX. There could be as many as 1,100 homes built on the campus of the University of Colorado Health Sciences Center. The campus is located at Colorado Boulevard and 9th Avenue and would be redeveloped by Shea Properties. The hospital's planning a move to the Fitzsimmons Medical property by 2008, though there will still be a primary care 100 bed hospital building on 4 acres that will not be sold to any developers. There's been about a month's rain so far in the last week. That's a good thing. However, not good enough for Denver Water. Yesterday, a couple of the board members said restrictions would most likely stay in place. Denver Water's reservoirs are still not up to full, though they are on the way. In sports, the Colorado Rockies continue their 3-game series tonight in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Last night, Brewers beat the Rocks 6-2. DEX is your most complete source for local information in the book, on CD, ROM, and at DexOnline.com. Dex knows. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:04.
More and more Denver radio listeners are tuning to AM 1150 KNRC and our unique Both Sides Talk approach.
This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
I think it's absolutely wonderful that the station has as a goal that it wants to hear both sides.
Perhaps you'll be our next satisfied customer. Hear Both Sides Talk. Our personalities welcome opposing sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello?
The tree goes into the mill.
There's a sale at Colorado Mills?
Big ring plus ring.
Okay, I got it. Grand opening sale at Phones Plus in Colorado Mills Mall?
Hello. What's that, honey?
Nothing, Fred. Okay, so what's on sale at Phones Plus?
At any Phones Plus, get a free phone with new activation of an AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, or Sprint plan. $39.99 and above.
Is there more?
Yes, half off MSRP of all accessories.
Well, I know where I'm going. Phones Plus.
Meet you there.
Honey, I'm going to, Sally's.
Okay, have fun, honey.
Okay, bye.
Phew. An ad for Phones Plus, Colorado Mills Grand Opening Sale. I have to check out their website at 444plus.com. Here, I wonder if...
Oh, hey, Susan!
Call 303-444-PLUS. Wireless store with a whole lot more.
Phones Plus.
Weather forecast, mostly sunny skies, low 80s for the high temperature for us today. Mostly clear tonight, mid-50s the overnight low. Tomorrow we'll start off mostly sunny, then we'll see some clouds build up, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms, breezy too. Tomorrow's high up near 80. Mostly sunny and 73 now. KNRC News Time is 12:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:06, 6 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We may have some surprises for you later in the hour, and we may not. It just depends. We'll see. And then I won't say more about that. I want to, there's some announcements that I want to make. First of all, tomorrow we're going to be joined by best-selling author Lisa Scodellini. She has a brand new book called Killer Smile. She's a New York Times best-selling author. You see her books all over the place. And she has won all kinds of mystery writers' honors, including the Edgar Award. She's also been awarded an honorary doctorate. She has an alumni certificate of merit by the University of Pennsylvania Law School. She has won all these different awards. And her books draw on her experience both as a trial lawyer as well as her judicial clerkships in both state and federal justice systems. So she's going to be joining us tomorrow. I didn't know her background was as extensive as that, and I thought you might not know it either and would want to. And Friday, we are live from the Denver Press Club. We do these shows once a month. We usually have a certain set Friday to do them, but we've been moving it around lately because we've been in and out of town. But we always do them once a month. We draw a wonderful lunchtime crowd there. You don't, on the days that we do the broadcast, you don't have to be a member to come on in and have lunch or come on in and have a drink. Things are really good. They're modestly priced. You can get great food. Chef Daniel does a terrific job. They got wonderful burgers and sandwiches and all kinds of lunchy things. And we are going to be talking about weddings and the business of romance, that dark underbelly underneath all that frilly pinky stuff. You know, happily ever after is live something else. I'm going to be on Air America Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Laura Flanders Show. And I think you access that on the web, airamericaradio.com. Also tonight, after Doug's show, the Style Matters people, and that would be Judy and Evelinda, and they'd write a column, Style Matters, in the Rocky Mountain News that appears every Thursday, and their show is heard here on AM 1150 KNRC from 10 to noon on Saturday mornings. They have a special edition of their show tonight. This is from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight here on AM 1150 KNRC, and this is about obesity in America. So it's the show will be filled with, you know, it'll be fat with obesity in America topics and information. And, you know, that's really a pandemic. Obesity in this country is a huge health problem. not to mention a style problem, and no two better people than Judy and Evelinda will be hot on its trail. So that's tonight, 6 to 8. It's a special edition of Style Matters, and it's on obesity in America. It's a serious topic. But they do everything very well and with a lot of liveliness. So that's Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman. One thing that I kind of stumbled on last year, maybe even the year before when I first moved to Denver, right here, one block away from the office, is Pacific Mercantile Exchange and what I call Japantown, although it really isn't. But it is ground zero for the Cherry Blossom Festival that they do once a year. And there's a Buddhist temple right next, right practically adjacent, I think, to the Pacific Mercantile Exchange. And at Pacific Mercantile Exchange, you can get all kinds of Asian food and you can get all kinds of stuff that they sell, pottery, Asian ceramics, and so on. So once a year, they do a Cherry Blossom Festival, and it's Japanese entertainment. They have wonderful stuff. They have wonderful, exhibitions of things like Ikebana, flower arranging, and they have the most fabulous teriyaki chicken that they sell in the church. You go and get something to eat, and the food is so wonderful. And I'm a big fan of things Asian and particularly things Japanese. And so this is Sakura Square, Lawrence, between 19th and 20th, and that's this coming weekend, June 26th and 27th. So that would be, I think, Saturday and Sunday, June 26th and June 27th, 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. There's going to be folk dancing, Japanese folk dancing. There is going to be Denver Taiko. So these are drums, really rousing drums. They're going to be exhibits of Ikebana, which is flower arranging, bonsai, which is how you do these small trees, grow these tiny miniaturized trees and so on. And I'm a great fan of Ikebana. I've studied it. I'm terrible at it, but I appreciate it's the beautiful, the simplicity and the brilliance of simple, interesting flower arranging. They do teriyaki chicken, as I said, which terrific, beef balls, tofu don, all kinds of Japanese foods and noodles as well. And there's lots of entertainment, and there's a raffle. You could win $5,000, and you don't even have to be present to win. You might not even have to be alive to win. I don't know. But in any event, it is the Denver Cherry Blossom Festival, and I believe that the money benefits the Buddhist temple. The Oban folk dancing takes place Saturday night beginning at 7:30 p.m., and lots of sound and color and spectacle, about 40 booths, they think, with all kinds of crafts and things that they're selling. So it's really wonderful, actually. Volunteers are going to be pouring complimentary hot green tea. And if that's too hot on a summer's day, you can go downstairs in the beer garden for a cold cup of Kirin and a refreshing bowl of cold somen, which I guess are cold noodles. It's a wonderful event. Stop by. There's no charge for it unless you decide to buy something. And that is Saturday and Sunday. It is Sakura Square, so that's Lawrence. So it's right here around the corner from us between 19th and 20th. We're in Lawrence and 18th. And this is on Lawrence between 19th and 20th, the Cherry Blossom Festival. And the money goes to benefit, I believe, the they have judo demonstrations. They have all kinds of stuff. The Denver Municipal Band, Tai Chi, which I have studied also and do terribly in as well. But I study a lot of things that I don't do so hot in, but it doesn't deter me. I just keep studying them. Maybe I'll get better. Origami. Ooh, that's good. I just saw a really interesting acupuncture. Oh, we could use some of that. I just saw a really interesting story about origami. And origami is the art of paper folding. You know, you've seen those cranes, those birds that they fold and these interesting shapes. Well, it gets even more complicated than that because professors of physics, it has to do with physics, I guess. And this professor of computer science who died a couple years ago, but I think he was at Stanford, he did these incredible, complicated shapes that are amazing to look at with just one piece of paper, no cutting, continuous folding. And it takes all these mathematical equations to be able to do this. I mean, I never even thought anything like that was possible. But it has all kinds of computer application possibilities. So it isn't only for the aesthetic value, but it has other possibilities as well. So a couple of housekeeping notes. Tomorrow, Lisa Scodolini. Tonight, Judy and Evelinda, A special report on obesity in America. And this weekend, the Cherry Blossom Festival. And also on Sunday night, I'm going to be on Air America, Laura Flanders' show. So that's the new liberal radio network that Al Franken is part of, if they don't go broke. Did you see that front page Wall Street Journal story on them? Oh, God. It sounds to me like they were taken in by some kind of a con man kind of a person, and so they're really up against the wall, so we'll see what happens here. As Al Franken said when he declined to take the rest of his salary because they couldn't pay him, they didn't have the money, he said, I've become an involuntary investor in this organization. There's a lot of things going on. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is the fact that this, and this is a big story, this is the interrogation memo. It is being disavowed by the very department that wrote it. But before we get there, I love certain stories. I love these stories of people who are so sanctimonious. And then it turns out that they've been leading parallel and double lives. For example, we were just in Chicago, Joe Anderson and I, at Book Expo. And my cousin lives there. I have a lot of family in Chicago. And there is a big and very hot Senate race going on in the state of Illinois. And you've got a really good Democratic candidate that has just been stepping on the gas. And, of course, Chicago is Democratic, but downstate Illinois and so on, that's Republican country, I think, primarily. And you have this very attractive Republican running for Senate. His name is Jack Ryan. He was an investment banker, I believe, so he had a lot of money. And he was married to an actress named Jerry Lynn Ryan, and I haven't seen her work, but she was in, I don't know, she's in a lot of different things. They had a very acrimonious divorce about 4 years ago. The divorce information, all of it was sealed. Well, guess what? Got unsealed. And it turns out that she was making allegations about him that he forced her, he made her go to sex clubs with him, and he wanted them to perform sex in public, and he got people lined up to watch, and she wouldn't do it. And that was one of the things that led to the divorce. She accused her ex-husband of taking her to sex clubs in New York, New Orleans, and Paris. And he does admit that they were at a very avant-garde place in Paris, and that they both felt, quote, uncomfortable, and they left. But here's Mr. Family Values, these family values guys. And here's how the New York Times is covering the story. When Jack Ryan, a wealthy investment banker, and his wife, the actress Jerry Ryan, faced off 4 years ago over custody of their son, they evidently thought the steamy accusations in their court papers would remain private. Well, that didn't happen. According to court depositions unsealed Monday, Ryan, a Republican who's running for Democratic state senator in the seat held by Senator Peter G. Fitzgerald, a Republican who's retiring, according to the court records, he apparently took his wife to sex clubs in New York, New Orleans, and Paris in the late 1900s. The document suggests that Mr. Ryan insisted that they have public sex. Public, that pubic, there's an L in there, public sex. But that Mrs. Ryan angrily refused, and the issue led to the breakup of their marriage. Republican leaders here have been stunned by the claims. Some have called on Mr. Ryan to drop out of the race. If the allegations made were true, it would end the candidacy, said one of the candidates that Ryan defeated. At a news conference, Ryan insisted that he would remain in the race. He did not, but here, interestingly enough, he did not deny his former wife's version of events, though in one of the newly released court documents, he did say, I did arrange, I did arrange romantic getaways for us, but that did not include the type of activities that she describes. We did go to one avant-garde nightclub in Paris, which was more than either one of us felt comfortable with. We left and vowed never to return. In a radio interview yesterday, Ryan called the uproar over his marital dispute a new low for politics. Well, he's not denying her allegations. He made his fortune as an investment banker and then quit his job to become a teacher at a Chicago high school. He has defeated 7 opponents in the Republican primary, portraying himself as a centrist and promising to dip into his bank accounts to finance his campaign. This is his first campaign. His wife, Jerry Lynn, appeared in Star Trek Voyager and is a star of the TV series Boston Public. Does anybody know her work, Jerry Lynn Ryan? I'm not, I don't watch those two shows, so I don't know her work too much. But in any event, these are the allegations that she made. Should he drop out of the race? Ooh, it's so juicy. I think he ought to stay in just for juicy value. But what do you say? I think he's toast, to tell you the truth. Unless Illinois suddenly got more avant-garde than I remembered it when I lived there. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And another sexual topic that we as a nation never get tired of. Gay marriage on the ropes. It looks like it's just going to fade away. It's not going to be, nobody wants to vote for this as a constitutional ban on gay marriage. I mean, are these people nuts? What do they have for brains, if you could call brains what are rattling around in their cranial cavities? A senior U.S. Senate Republican said yesterday that the proposed constitutional amendment barring gay marriage probably doesn't have the votes to pass. But the bill's Colorado authors say it isn't dead yet. So meanwhile, they're standing by with paramedics. They've got this bill on life support, and they are going down with the ship, and Ben Nighthorse Campbell has got bigger fish to fry and is dealing with his own case of terminal acid reflux, at least professionally terminal acid reflux. He doesn't know yet how he's going to vote on this. But, you know, people finally woke up and said, we don't want to make hating somebody an amendment to the Constitution. That's just really not what we are about as a nation, although, frankly, I do not know what we are about as a nation. We are just grabby as a nation. We don't care if we commit torture in the name of combating terrorism. I don't know what we have become as a nature. We like to think, as a nation, we like to think that we are idealistic. We like to think that we're democratic. We like to think that this is a transparent democracy. But look at this regime that we got running things. Dickey in the White House. Dickey is on the ropes, too, as a matter of fact. But don't rule out. This is the thing I'm really worried about, the e-voting issue, and whether they'll do anything. They will stoop. They will do whatever it takes to steal this election. They did it the last time. They'll do it this time too. You gotta keep your eyeballs on this crowd. Anyway, Senator Orrin Hatch, or I like to call him Senator Orrin Hatchet, conceded the accuracy of a count by Democratic opponents showing 40 votes against the proposed amendment, which needs 67 of the 100 Senate votes to pass. So it's not going to happen. This is so serious sociologically and in so many other ways, Orrin Hatchet says, that we do need to vote on it on the floor one way or another. Wayne Allard, who, you know, if brain power could be used to pedal a bicycle, I don't think he could get one inch away from anywhere. The Senate sponsor and Representative Marilyn Musgrave, I promise you, she is going to be revealed to be somebody in drag. I just know that moment will happen. The House sponsor said a full Senate vote will decide the issue, not an unofficial count. Senator Allard found very strong support among the senators for a federal marriage amendment. Why do they have to do it? Marriage is in its own soup. 50% of people who get married. And one of the things we're going to talk about, and one of the things that was revealed to Joe and me, much to our dismay in Aspen, I have a friend in Aspen who handles a lot of these large events. And she's talking about destination weddings, because I mentioned I am going to Italy for my cousin's wedding. And I'm going in about a week from today, tomorrow, a week from Friday. I'm going soon to Italy again, hoping to speak the language slightly better than the last time I was there. Yet another one of my projects, to learn Italian. I'm doing about as well at Italian as I am at Ikebana, but I'm in there pitching and studying a little bit, not much. In any event, I mentioned this, and she said, you know, destination weddings are a big deal. She knows people who in Aspen, the bride and groom come to Aspen to get married, on top of Ajax, which is Aspen Mountain or someplace else, where just what we laughingly refer to as renting the hall, you know, renting some great space, just the rental is $15,000. Just the rental for a place to get married, $15,000. And that's before the catering, that's before the wine or the booze, the drinks, whatever they're going to serve, the wedding gowns. I passed by ours one day and I saw these huge wedding gowns all over the place. I mean, they're huge. They take an enormous amount of room, each one of them. So there were a bunch of them, and all these, I guess brides-to-be were trying on wedding dresses, and the price tags are in five figures, if not higher. They are astronomical. You're lucky to find something in the four figures, maybe. I don't know. I think it's, and then this wedding, then you go buy a gift and you spend all this money to get there, And the family has spent a fortune on the proceedings, and the wedding is over in a year or two. I'm going to institute a new policy where I'm not giving a wedding gift until I see if that wedding takes. I'm not going in somewhere. I am reserving my visits from Tiffany and other places, and I'm not doing anything until I find out if that marriage has got some legs. And I'm tired of buying wedding gifts, and in 2 seconds, those weddings are over. 303-382-1150. We don't have it right about sex in this country. One of the things we talked about this week is that according to a report that was released, 770 military were booted. Members of the military were booted just because of their sexual orientation, because they are gay. And some of these people have skills that we really need. And the military is stretched thin, so we are so weird about sex. Here you've got Allard and Musgrave, who apparently have nothing better to do, and they want to ban gay sex, a constitutional ban on gay marriage. Constitutional ban on gay marriage, and they're still pushing for it, even though there really are no votes. And and then you've got these guys who run on family values, and then their deepest, darkest secrets are exposed in divorce proceedings, supposedly sealed divorce records, and you find out that they're complete hypocrites. I mean, I just think that there's, why don't we just accept that? I don't know why Americans, it must be the puritanical something or other that we were founded in. I don't know why it is that we're not easy about sex. I don't know. It's either one extreme or the other. There's no balance here. 303-321-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
This news report brought to you by the 20th Annual Vail Arts Festival in Vail's Lion's Head Mall this weekend, June 25th through the 27th.
In the world of shopping, 70% of the time women do the shopping and the guys get left behind. Hi, I'm Bev Rulo, owner of International Optique. It's important to remember men and their eyewear, as eyewear shows the world what kind of personality they have. International Optique at Tamarack Square salutes men with a very special discount. Choose one die from our dice collection, roll a 2, and receive a 20% discount off your new frame with the purchase of prescription lenses. Roll a 6 and receive 60% off your new frame. But remember, this game is just for men who want to look beyond fabulous in new eyewear. The discount is yours just for mentioning our game. Allow our staff to create a new look for you with eyewear from Alon Mickley, Click 12, Bada, or Oliver Peoples. You'll be a sure winner at International Optique at Tamarack Square. Guys, come in yourself or bring in your special gal. We'll make getting new eyewear and lenses so easy, you'll want a pair for business, sports, and dress. All at International Optique at Tamarack Square. See you soon.
Relax, it's dream.
Why are so many homeowners so cool and calm these days? Because when they needed air conditioning, they knew just what to do. Call your Rheem dealer. Rheem dealers install top quality, energy efficient Rheem products. So relax.
Call Team Heating and Air Conditioning for all your heating and cooling needs at 303-286-1589.
Hi, I'm Bill Doyle, owner of Team Heating and Air Conditioning, and I'd like to help you enjoy the benefits of an air-conditioned home this summer. We offer honest pricing, good service, and no gimmicks at Team Heating and Air Conditioning. We can give you a quick quote over the phone and stand by it by asking only a few simple questions. Next day installation is always available. You will receive a free programmable thermostat with installation and be eligible for a $350 rebate from Xcel. Call me today, Bill, at 303-286-1589. That's 303-286-1589.
This Sunday night, visit the Hudson Gardens and Event Center for a great night of music with Lanny Garrett. And while you're at the show, stop by the KNRC booth to register for a getaway weekend at Breckenridge, including 3 nights lodging and 2 rounds of golf. Breckenridge, with over 150 things to do and see this summer, why not stay the weekend? Call 1-800-GO-BREACK or visit GoBreck.com. To enter, visit the KNRC booth at Hudson Gardens and Event Center this Sunday.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour. The Dow now up 4 points. The Nasdaq's above 2,000, up 13 points. A divided Securities and Exchange Commission has ruled mutual fund boards must have chairmen who are independent from the companies managing the funds. Two of the three Republicans on the panel voted against the requirement. For years, the Comdex Computer Trade Show in Vegas was the biggest event for the tech calendar. But falling attendance and vendor interest has taken its toll. Comdex has been canceled for this year, and maybe forever. The big shows now involve consumer electronics and specialist IT gear. 50 cases brought against IBM by current and former workers have been settled and dismissed by a California judge. The workers charged cancer and other health problems occurred because of jobs in IBM's disk drive plants. Other cases are still pending. Big IPO day today for Salesforce.com. The company makes customer relations software, and on its first day of public trading, its shares rose some 37%. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. I'm also the owner of a line of styling products with simple names like Clean, Cleaner, Soft, and Softer, which is only fitting since tracking the expenses that go into producing them has become pretty simple itself.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got GEICO. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. Online at GEICO.com.
She's the Rush alternative.
Didn't you talk about something else?
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNIC. Denver Talk Radio Station. More talk, less clutter. Now, here's Enid Goldstein.
12:31 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I'm looking at the Drudge Report, and they are so furious at Bill Clinton, I can't believe it. He's got on the books are flying off the shelf no matter where he goes. Tatter covers completely sold out yesterday, and people were standing in line trying to get tickets to the Bill Clinton event, and I guess those are all gone. They're waiting for another shipment, which they may or may not have in, I don't know. But his memoir has broken one-day sales record at Barnes & Nobles. It has exceeded expectations at Borders, and so those are two of the huge chains, even though we're big supporters of independent bookstores like the Tattered Cover. First-day sales of Bill Clinton's memoirs, My Life, were record-breaking. The book is already projected to have set a single-day nonfiction sales record of between 90 and 100,000 books sold nationwide. The initial printing is 1.5 million, and believe me, they're sitting on pins and needles at work, Knopf, wondering whether this was going to fly off the shelves or not. But, I don't know whether it's one of these things that flies off the shelf the first day, the second day, the third day, and then fizzles the next week after that. I don't know, but it looks like it's really good. We are estimating that the first-day sales of Bill Clinton's books were more than double of what we sold for the first day of Hillary Clinton, said the spokesperson for Borders. In other words, it was huge and perhaps the largest nonfiction title ever for us. Hillary Clinton's book, Living History, sold over 1 million copies after its release last June. And the sales of Bill Clinton's books were particularly strong at stores in New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. The audio edition of the book were also nearing what apparently was seen with the sales of the Harry Potter audio editions. But opening day sales of the Bill Clinton book still sold about a third of total sales of Harry Potter on its first day, but it did break a record for nonfiction. But you wouldn't know that looking at the Drudge Report. Listen to what he's got, Matt Drudge, on his report. Just hype. Not selling in Virginia Beach. No bestseller in Billings, Montana. Like, do they even have bookstores in those places? Not selling in Saginaw, Michigan. Not flying off the shelves in Saginaw, Michigan. Imagine that. No, it's not a first-day bestseller in Fort Wayne, Indiana either, apparently. A little slow in Sacramento. And not doing so well in Gainesville, Florida either. But, hey, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, etc., burning down the house. So it looks like the Republicans are just furious. And Bill Clinton, and I'm glad he did this, because the last picture I saw of Monica Lewinsky, she looked pretty horrible. Bill Clinton says he was, quote, pretty wigged out with stress when he and Monica Lewinsky had their affair. But he says he still feels sorry for her, hopes she won't be trapped in what Andy Warhol called everybody's 15 minutes of fame. And in his public appearances in connection with the release of his memoirs, Bill Clinton said, I feel sorry because, as she said herself, she was betrayed by her friend and then she got caught up in this big media Kenneth Starr imbroglio. And he said, none of it would have happened if I hadn't done anything wrong, and I feel sorry about it. And he called Monica Lewinsky, quote, a really intelligent person and a fundamentally good person. So that was Bill Clinton, apparently, in his interview by Katie Couric. A couple of stories that I have to bring to your attention because they're big stories. There is a new book out by a senior CIA official who is not being allowed to use his name. So the book, if you are in the CIA and you write a book, it's got to be cleared by the CIA for whether or not classified information is involved, etc. So the book has been cleared, much to many people's surprise, but they won't let him use his name. Because they feel that if he uses his name, he could be a target for terrorists. So the book is by Anonymous, and it's called Imperial Hubris. But former intelligence officials have identified the author, Mr. Anonymous, as a 22-year veteran of the CIA who's still serving in a senior counterterrorism post at the agency and who headed the Bin Laden station from 1996 to 1999. It's a 300-plus page book. And the New York Times was able to obtain a copy, and what it provides, and it's providing really a lot of conversation right at this moment, because it makes some very provocative allegations, provides an unusual glimpse into a school of thought inside the CIA and includes harsh criticism of both the Clinton and Bush administrations. U.S. leaders refuse to accept the obvious, writes the author. We are fighting a worldwide Islamic insurgency, not criminality, not terrorism, and our policy and our procedures have failed to make more than a modest dent in enemy forces. The author says that the threat is rooted in opposition not to American values, but to policies and actions, particularly in the Islamic world. It is rare, the New York Times writes, for a CIA officer to publish a book while still serving at the agency, and highly unusual for the book to focus on such a politically explosive topic. Under CIA rules, the book had to be cleared by the CIA. The book itself only identifies Anonymous as a senior U.S. intelligence official with nearly two decades of experience. In a report issued in March, the staff of the 9/11 Commission described the Bin Laden unit as a place where a sense of alarm about Bin Laden was not widely shared or understood within the intelligence and policy communities. We have waged, according to the author here, two failed half-wars, and in doing so left Afghanistan and Iraq seething with anti-U.S. sentiment, fertile ground for the expansion of Al-Qaeda and kindred groups. Exactly the kind of thing we've been talking about here. And I'm not a CIA vet of 20 years. I don't think, but it's interesting to have this inside elucidation. This book is causing big waves in Washington. So more as more information is revealed, and we have good word. I said we might have a little mystery in the works here. David Sedaris, everybody's favorite author, is going to be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour, and we are thrilled. He's going to be a tattered cover tonight. So more as we continue. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Mostly sunny and 74 degrees now. A blaze at a Denver townhome kept firefighters busy this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound I-25, very heavy from Yale up through 6th Avenue because of an injury accident. The cause of that accident was a southbound car that lost a wheel, and it bounced across the traffic lanes, collided with a northbound car there at 6th Avenue. Very, very heavy traffic in both directions there around I-25, Alameda, and 6th Avenue. Southbound I-25 at Evans, a report of an injury accident. They're trying to move the cars out of the way right now. The traffic is jammed back to University Boulevard. And southbound I-225 at Tamarack, injury accident blocking lane 2. Truck with a trailer hit the guardrail in there. Emergency equipment was on the scene a few minutes ago. Traffic there jammed back to Parker Road. Orkin Pest Control with the information. Just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
A Denver townhome caught fire this morning. Two women suffered minor burns and smoke inhalation and were treated at the scene. A man on his way to work spotted the flames and started banging on doors to alert the residents. So far, investigators aren't sure what started that fire. This report brought to you by Einstein Brothers. A silo collapse in Douglas County has injured one person. The silo, which held dry cement powder for a concrete producer, fell onto the roof of a workshop and caused some damage along with injuring that person. South Metro fire investigators are on the scene trying to figure out exactly what happened. Colorado State University assistant volleyball coach Andy Klusman is in critical condition after an accident in Wyoming that killed his wife Jana. The 40-year-old coach has a closed head injury and a broken jaw from the crash that happened at I-80 and U.S. Highway 85 in Cheyenne. With new lunches like their Jamaican jerk chicken salad with low-fat mango ginger vinaigrette, Einstein Brothers is the next best thing to living in a gourmet restaurant. Lunch today, stop by Einstein Brothers. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 12:40.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear the drums. Feel the anticipation. 100 souls come alive to tell you the story. Terracotta Warriors, featuring the largest troupe of performers to ever take the stage at the Buell Theater, combines extravagant dance and music with spectacular martial arts in an unprecedented fashion. Adapted from historical accounts of the life of China's first emperor, fight sequences are intertwined with scenes of romance and betrayal as the power of the realm clashes with human passion. Elaborate costumes and sets come together with incredible surround sound effects and unique orchestral music to immerse audiences in the emotion, drama, and battles of the 2nd century BC. Direct from Beijing, this $3 million North American tour comes to the Buell Theater July 6th through the 18th only. Tickets are available at All King Supers, online at denvercenter.org, or call 303-893-4100.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny skies for us today, low 80s for the high temperature, mostly clear tonight, we'll drop down to the mid-50s. Tomorrow we'll start off mostly sunny, then see some clouds later in the day, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms. Breezy too tomorrow, a high near 80. Mostly sunny and 74 now. KNRC News Time is 12:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. We have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
AM 1150 KNRC caught John Kerry confidentially the other day talking about our morning show host, Jimmy Lakey.
These guys are the most crooked,
female lion group group I've ever seen.
It's scary.
I think Jimmy may be getting on his nerves. What do you think? Find out mornings with Jimmy Lakey, exclusively on Denver's AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:43 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And good news, I said we might have a little surprise for you. David Sedaris, the NPR humorist, bestselling author of Me Talk Pretty One Day, is going to be joining us live in the studio in the 2 o'clock hour. He will be at Tattered Cover Lodo tonight, but there is an early start date. It's 7 o'clock. Usually the events are 7:30. But I believe tonight is 7 o'clock, Tattered Cover Lodo. And you may need to, I think they're probably going to expect a lot of people there, so you may need to get there early in order to get ticketed. So David Sedaris, who started out life as an elf at Macy's, a Santa's elf, as did a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, who was an attorney trying to get a job and has written about it and is a playwright. And you can hear him on This American Life. You can hear him on NPR, and he's witty and just wonderful, and people were just falling all over him at Book Expo. We tried to get him, and we were not able to do that, but now we have him live in studio, so it's even better. That's in our 2 o'clock hour. Okay, new book by a CIA officer, Mr. Anonymous, is saying that what we're fighting now is not simply about terrorism, but it is a worldwide Islamic insurgency, and it's not about our values as a country. It's about how we've treated the Muslim world. That we have fought these two half wars, failed half wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, and have left the Arab world seething with anti-U.S. sentiment. It's fertile ground for the expansion of al-Qaeda and kindred groups. So as we predicted, even before we went into Iraq, I predicted it. I had people on the show who were, you know, had been reporting on this in the Middle East for decades. They predicted it. I don't think you had to be a particular genius to know that this could happen, that anything we did in Iraq would function as a recruiting poster for every disaffected Arab male. And in fact, that is what has happened for jihadists everywhere. Seymour Hersh, writing in The New Yorker, says that in July 2003, 2 months after President Bush, about a year ago, 2 months after President Bush declared victory in Iraq, the war, far from winding down, reached a critical point. Israel, which had been among the war's most enthusiastic supporters, began warning the administration that the American-led occupation would face heightened insurgency, a campaign of bombings and assassinations. Later that summer, Israeli intelligence assets in Iraq were reporting that the insurgents had the support of Iranian intelligence operatives and other foreign fighters who were crossing the unprotected border between Iran and Iraq at will. The Israelis urged the U.S. to seal that 900-mile-long border at whatever cost. The administration wouldn't do it. They decided that they weren't going to do it, that it stayed open. The Israelis disagreed with the administration vigorously. They were concerned that the Iranians would create social and charity organizations in Iraq and use them to recruit people who would engage in armed attacks against Americans. The warnings of increased violence have proved accurate. This is Seymour Hersh. He won a Pulitzer Prize for reporting about My Lai. He's the one who broke the Abu Ghraib story. I mean, he's writing a book now, and I am reading one of his previous books called The Dark Side of Camelot, all about the Kennedys. And wow, I had no idea they were as horrible as, and he's a first-class reporter. He's one of the few reporters, star reporters, who hasn't succumbed to the lure of celebrity. In other words, a lot of reporters are so interested in getting invited to this person's house and that person's house that they start going easy on the reporting. And then they're not the pit bulls that you really have to be. Seymour Hersh, he just keeps going. He is a pit bull. He's not looking to curry favor and ingratiate himself with Washington hostesses and other people. He is just interested in getting the story. So when he writes it, I tend to believe it. And in any event, these warnings that the Israelis tried to alert Americans to have proved accurate. A former Israeli intelligence officer said that Israel's leadership had concluded that the U.S. was, in fact, unwilling to confront Iran. We were willing to confront a half-on-its-knees country that was, collapsed, Iraq. But we're not willing to confront North Korea. We're not willing to confront Iran. And the neocons have dug in. We're doing this on our own, they said. Oh, really? Are we going to do this on our own? We're doing it on our own. So in that way, the administration was warned. The Israelis, deciding that they need some support here, have been working clandestinely in Kurdistan, which worries the Turkey and Turkish officials. Israel is not alone in believing that Iran, despite its protestations, is secretly hard at work on a nuclear bomb. So it could happen that Iran has got some kind of a nuclear capability. And there's all kinds of stuff going on between Iran, Iraq. Us going into Iraq has apparently strengthened Iran without them ever having to lift a finger. Turkey's worried about what's going to happen here because the Israelis are working in Kurdistan, and Kurdistan might want to pull out and become its own country. I mean, it's what looked like bringing democracy to the region and reshaping the region has turned into a hideous bag of snakes. And now in the UN, we wanted a dispensation from having to, sign on to a Geneva Convention or something about how we treat prisoners, because we were always considered such a moral country. No more dispensations after Abu Ghraib. Forget it. We're just as low on the human rights totem pole on how we abuse people as some of these 10th world countries are. 303-382-1150. And now when you go to Europe, you're not greeted with the same enthusiasm as you once were, because people hate what we have done. So we have squandered our own goodwill of the country. I know people say, well, we don't like what the government has done, but we like individual Americans. I know they say that. But in fact, it's changed how you're greeted in other countries. You used to come in as an American, they loved you because you liberated them during the war, because you spent money, because even though they add the tip onto the bills in Italy, Americans still tip on top of that. They loved us. Well, now they don't love us so much. They love getting our money, but they're not so happy with us. And we had allies. And when you have terrorism working the way it does, because there's so many cells in so many different countries, you need all the allies you can get. We have somehow closed the door on some of those possibilities. And now that we're in trouble in Iraq, there's nobody to really hand it off to. Well, the UN and the new government, but good luck. And we're going to still keep charge of Saddam Hussein. Legally, we're handing him over to the new government, but in fact, we're still guarding him. Wouldn't you love to be one of the Saddam Hussein's guards and find out what he talks about? What does he eat? What are his musings? You know, he's sort of a failed romance novelist. And without that black dye, I don't know what color his hair could possibly be at this point, but I'm dying to find out. In any event, we will still keep control of Saddam Hussein, although legally he will be in control of the government. You try and figure that one out. That's like how many angels are jumping on the head of a pin. This is a very legalistic kind of way for us to continue to control everything. We're going to still be in charge of the government, I think. We're going to still be in charge of Saddam Hussein. And look at these people. Every decision they've made in this regime has been an incompetent decision, motivated only by politics. And this is what's so intriguing to me. It's all backfiring on them. Now, what will happen in the election? Nobody better get complacent about it. But here was the regime that controlled the media so tightly they could threaten you with your job if you asked any kind of a tough question, if you were a White House reporter. And they'd call up and they'd complain to your editor. And if they didn't give you access, you would not be able to do your job and you would be replaced. So everybody got scared. They controlled everything really tightly. And somehow the press turned, that magic moment when the press turned themselves into cheerleaders and stenographers, that was going on as well. So you had a very complacent, passive press, as Jimmy Breslin calls them, the Pekingese of the press. You know, they look like little lapdogs. And then you had all these, you know, here is Bush Dickey hitting the deck of that aircraft carrier, you know, in his flight suit. The major combat is over. We're winners. And everything they do is only to make him look like, and he's a hollow, strong man, a weak man. And guess what? You never thought it was going to come unglued, but gee, the universe has a way of working. It is coming unglued. It is revealing for the whole world to see what we've got there. John, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, if you were the largest business in the world and suddenly no one needed your product, what would you do? You'd create some new enemies. You'd take the profit out of war, and there won't be any more.
How are you going to take the profit out of war, John? How are you going to do that?
Well, first thing you need to do, it's getting pretty late in the game for humanity to be having wars. The military is a disease on humanity.
We're always going to be having wars.
Like any disease. Yeah, as long as they can convince you to believe that, we will. It's getting awful late in the game. We need to get rid of the militaries or this planet. It's like a disease on humanity.
And wait a minute.
And
how are we
going to
wait. John. How are we going to get rid of the? How are we going to get rid of wars? How are you going to alter human nature?
It's not part of human nature.
Yes, it is part of human nature.
No,
I think it is. Resentments are part of human nature. Anger.
Is not.
Greed is a part of human nature. If it
as
weren't.
As long as you eat meat and you're a carnivore and act like a carnivore.
Herbivores
take care of the whole herd.
Oh, wait a minute.
Herbivores don't. They care about themselves.
Do you ever get, John, can I ask you, do you ever get mad at anybody, ever?
I get mad at these people running the world.
Well, you get mad, don't you?
I used to pray for their enlightenment. Now just lightning.
But you get mad, don't you?
Yeah, when I see this kind of
crap.
It
doesn't matter what, you get mad. That's part of human nature.
When he melts half a city and blames it on the terrorists and declares martial law, Americans are dumb enough to go for it.
But you get mad.
Sure, I do.
All right, so that's part of human nature. People get mad, they want to get even.
It's about greed, honey. The wars are about greed. Every single war is about greed and making money from it. Every war we've ever had.
Every single war was about greed. Yeah. Every single war was not about any other. There was no other complexity, honey, than greed.
No,
I think you got to, you know what, John? I think you got to get the aluminum foils out of those antennas that are on top of your head. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Ina Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Ina Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Make your weekends longer this summer at Hyatt. Get 20% off your regular room rate any day Thursday through Sunday at participating Hyatts through September 6th. Book on Hyatt.com today.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I want my golf challenging. 18 holes is the least I'll play in a day.
I like my golf with sunshine, immaculate greens, and a great lunch on a deck with views after I'm done.
It doesn't matter what you look for in a golf game, because the Breckenridge Golf Course has it all. The only 27-hole Jack Nicklaus-designed course in the country. Spectacular views, great clubhouse, and your ball will fly 10 to 20% farther. Guaranteed. Visit GoBreckNow.com today for competitive rates and tailored vacations. Have a cool summer experience. Breckenridge.
The odds and ends that live under Dylan's bed come to life in the Arvada Center's children's theater production, The Monster Under the Bed, playing June 15th through July 29th in the Arvada Center's outdoor amphitheater, ideal for children ages 3 and older. This original musical production is the entertaining story of clothes and toys fighting to survive as Dylan cleans his room. For more information or for tickets, call 720-898-7200 or visit www.arvadacenter.com.
Your back hurts. It's the moment of choice. What should you take? Truth is, doctors nationwide recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain. Advance to Advil Relief.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink. Interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum. Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Are you tired of the jabber about pop culture and nothing that really affects you? Tune in afternoons to Doug Kellett beginning at 3. Doug Kellett beginning at 3. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this
This is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1258 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Jay calling from Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, what about this guy? The one that is anonymous.
Yeah, what about him?
Oh, man, I think this is the one that's going to put the frosting on the cake.
I don't know if it is. Every book that came out, I thought was going to put the frosting on the cake, but I'm not so sure. I think maybe collectively, but I hope you're right, Jay. 303-382-1150, John, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Ciao, Bella.
Thank you. Ciao, Bello.
Just wanted to get your take on the reaction in Korea to the execution and murder of that worker over there in Iraq, because I've read two completely different takes. One from the Asia Times, who says that Korean sentiments are now firming up, getting behind their government sending troops, and then ABC Online is saying that Koreans are protesting the move on troops. Kind of an interesting...
Well, I suppose then probably both are happening. Are you finding out that you're getting a little bit inured? It's yet another beheading?
I'm having difficulty hearing you. I'll listen to your response on the radio.
Okay, John, thank you for the call. I'm guessing that since there are two wildly different versions of the reporting going on, that there's some kind of, there are both movements pro and against, pro and con in North Korea. But as I said yesterday, another beheading, tragic, horrible. And the sad fact is I think we're getting accustomed to it because this is about the fourth or fifth that I can recall. What do you think? And is it as eye-opening as it was? 303-382-1150, two more hours of Enid Live right here on AM 1150.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. It's apparently the voice of one of the world's most feared terrorists. In a recording on the Internet, a speaker identified as Abu al-Zarqawi threatens to kill the interim Iraqi prime minister. NBC's Richard Engel in Baghdad says the new government promises not to be intimidated.
An official in the prime minister's office dismissed that threat and said that it would in no way affect the handover of power on June 30th.
Zarqawi is believed to be responsible for several killings in Iraq, including yesterday's beheading of a South Korean worker. There are expected to be few takers of a new Saudi offer to militants. The government says if they surrender in the next month, they won't be prosecuted unless they've hurt others. The Saudis say anyone who accepts won't be sentenced to death. Nine screeners at the New Orleans airport have been arrested for allegedly stealing items from the bags they were checking. The employees have been suspended while an investigation continues. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Buon Dio in Pinot Grigio. Buon Dio in Pinot Grigio. Made it something you can't resist. It's got to be Abba Mist.
New for summer, Pinot Grigio with a splash of luscious island fruits. So refreshing, and only from Arbor Mist.
Oh, in Pinot Grigio, island fruit Pinot Grigio. Something you can't resist, only from Arbor Mist.
Arbor Mist Winery, Canandaigua, New York.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 78 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Firefighters spent this morning battling a fire at a Denver townhome. I'll have that story in a moment. Let's check traffic first with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Northbound I-25 approaching 6th Avenue, starting to improve a little bit in terms of traffic flow. It's now jammed back to University Comiskey Boulevard. All of that caused by an earlier injury accident. Likewise, southbound I-25 is looking a lot better between University and Evans. That, too, caused by an earlier injury accident. Everything out of the way there. Some congestion left over. Southbound I-225 approaching Tamarack Parkway. That because of an earlier injury accident as well. And still emergency equipment taking care of a medical first aid situation at 6th and Canyon in Boulder. Fast Tracks, yes, with the information. Today's traffic report, a reminder to find out more about Fast Tracks, the proposed new mass transit network for the metro area. Log on to fasttracks.org, paid for by Fast Tracks, yes. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Firefighters were called out about 6:15 this morning to battle a blaze at a townhome on South Ulster in Denver. Two women received minor burns and suffered smoke inhalation and were treated on the scene. No one was home at the unit where the fire began. Investigators still trying to figure out what started that blaze. This report brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. The Denver Water Board today received some good news but had none to give out. Spokeswoman Trina McGuire Collier says at the meeting the board was told reservoirs are at 83% capacity. That's well below normal but above of what the board had anticipated. So does this mean an end to watering restrictions?
The restrictions do remain in place. However, the board did say that they'd like to look more closely at whether we do have, in fact, some room to be a bit more flexible. And so they plan to look at options for allowing additional watering probably in the next week or so.
McGuire Collier did say the board applauded customers for doing a great job of adhering to the current watering restrictions. One person injured when a silo full of cement powder collapsed in Douglas County today. The silo belonged to a concrete producer near Highway 85 and Titan Road. In sports, the Colorado Rockies continue their road trip tonight against the Milwaukee Brewers. Sean Estes takes the mound for the Rocks, who lost the series opener 6-2 last night. The Orkin man knows just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 104.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
We found the greatest location for our store in this older city neighborhood. The place was in complete disrepair, but we had a vision.
Business owners with a vision and a decrepit storefront. Perfect time to call Broadway Construction at 303-926-4410. Broadway Construction offers complete construction services for commercial projects and home repair and remodeling projects of all sizes.
So I shared our vision for the store with Lorne from Broadway Construction, thinking there's no way they can pull this off. Lorne assured me the project was something they could do from conception to completion and within our budget. They worked with us and guided us through each phase of the restoration and remodeling. Our store opened on time and within our budget, and it matched our vision. I was so impressed with Broadway that I've had Broadway redo our basement in Castle Rock, and they restored our friend's house in Boulder.
Start your construction project by calling 303-926-4410. When it comes to commercial or home construction projects of all sizes, do it the right way with Broadway.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies through the afternoon today. Clear skies tonight. Mid-50s the overnight temperature. We'll start off mostly sunny tomorrow, then see some clouds, maybe some afternoon thunderstorms. Breezy tomorrow, near 80 for the high. Mostly sunny and 78 now. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
106, 6 minutes after 1 o'clock. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. In the 2 o'clock hour, if all goes well, we're going to be joined by David Sedaris. He is going to be appearing at Tatter Cover Lodo. And it's an earlier start date than normal, start time. Normally they start the events at 7:30, but I believe that this one is at 7 o'clock tonight. So this is, and he's got a brand new book out, and he will be joining us, as I said, if all goes well, he'll be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour. His book is called Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. And his one of his previous bestsellers is Me Talk Pretty One Day. He's great. People love him. He is really funny. He's a terrific playwright. He's got a great eye. And so he'll be our guest live in studio. We're talking about a lot of different things. We're talking about Seymour Hersh's piece. And Seymour Hersh, of course, is the groundbreaking reporter. He won a Pulitzer for Me Lie, and he is saying that the Israelis have warned the administration that they were not going to, that they weren't winning, that they were going about things wrong, that Iran was running across the border to foment problems in Iraq, and the administration would not listen to them. So you've got all kinds of problems going on there. Now you've got the Justice Department, the Bush administration, has laid out its legal reasoning for denying terror war suspects the protections of international humanitarian law, but immediately reputed a key memo arguing that torture might be justified in the fight against al-Qaeda. In other words, the very thing that this department worked on, arguing that torture could be an ally in the fight against al-Qaeda, this department is now repudiating. Yesterday, hundreds of pages of internal memos were released by the White House meant to blunt the criticism that President Bush had laid the groundwork for the abuses of Iraqi prisoners by condoning torture. He insisted yesterday that he has never ordered torture. You know what? It's a torture to have this man as our president is a big torture right there. But the critics said that the developments left unresolved some questions about the administration's current guidelines for interrogating prisoners in Iraq and around the world. For example, a 2002 order signed by Bush says that the president reserves the right to suspend the Geneva Conventions on treatment of prisoners of war at any time he wants to. These documents raise more questions than they answer, says Senator Charles Schumer, who is a Democrat of New York. The White House released Defense Department memos detailing some of the harsh interrogation methods approved and then rescinded by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld in 2002 and 2003. The administration continues to refuse to say what interrogation methods are approved for use now. They won't tell us what the interrogation methods are approved for use now. And then we have this new book out by a senior CIA official called, his name is Mr. Anonymous, and the book is called Imperial Hubris. And it's all about how we have lost the war, really, he says, that this is not about terrorism, the war that we're fighting, but in fact it's a worldwide Islamic insurgency, that we have, that the reason that the Islamic world is so angry at us is not about our values, but because we have done all kinds of things to them that they resent. He says that we have waged two failed half wars and in doing so left Afghanistan and Iraq seething with anti-U.S. sentiment, fertile ground for the expansion of al-Qaeda and kindred groups. Well, you don't have to be a PhD to figure that one out. And finally, you have Ray McGovern, who is the head of a retired Union of CIA, a senior, operatives, spies, and what he wants and what he is writing about is, will the 9/11 Commission follow the example set by Congress and the intelligence community and let itself be intimidated by Vice President Dick Cheney? Now that the Commission staff report has pulled the rug out from under the notion so successfully fostered by the administration that Iraq played a role in the attacks of 9/11, no one should be surprised if the commissioners pull the rug out from under the staff. There are disquieting signs that this has already begun to happen. The stakes could not be higher for the president or vice president. So this Ray McGovern has been a critic of the administration. And what's happening is, as the 9/11 report gets closer and closer to its formal fruition, and what has been prepared to this point has been a staff report, he wonders whether the administration will be able to roll over and intimidate, whether the administration will be able to intimidate members of the 9/11 Commission. Not the staffers, but members. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Greg, on a cell, first-time caller. Welcome to Enid Live.
Hi, thanks. I'm enjoying your program very much. The reason that I called was because I agree with you that I think that the biggest danger there is Iran, because Iran has always wanted to go ahead and expand its borders back to the west to basically take over Iraq. It's the reason that he fought a war with Iraq for 10 years. Anybody that's that committed is not going to just simply stop and then allow the West to come in, which is culturally opposed to Iran in the first place, and allow them to go ahead and create their own little border state on the border with Iran. So Iran is going to go ahead and do everything it can to cause as much trouble as possible.
So what have we done here? We've made it easy for Iran to triumph?
Yes, and I think that the reason why is because we were not really prepared for this war with Iraq, and we didn't have the right mindset. And we certainly weren't prepared in terms of military force projection, because we're still thinking in terms of strategic force projection with ICBMs and aircraft carriers and long-range missiles. as opposed to boots on the ground, people having to deal with people face-to-face. And I believe that they still have in their minds, in the administration, the idea that they can be successful in establishing another Korea model where they are going ahead and projecting a force there to separate the two combatants, North Korea and South Korea, while they are able to influence the political economy of South Korea.
All right, so all the reasons that we said we were going in, we were going to reshape the region, we have caused more problems than we have solved. And we've caused many problems, unforeseen, the unforeseen consequences of our actions. We've caused many problems for ourselves, the diminution of the way we are viewed in the world, the torture that we have imposed, the fact that we have angered all of our former allies in lots of parts of the world so that when Americans travel abroad, we are treated very differently than we once were. And instead of reshaping the region has, as it has for hundreds of years before, reshaped us. Greg, I thank you for the call. 303-321-1150. Is it Toad or Todd?
It's Toad.
Toad?
No, it's... Listen, pretty girl. Hey, I just got back from Ireland, and they have different radio stations, but one's Catholic Family Radio. And I listened to this guy describe Kerry in Ireland, and he's, you know, he's pro-life and all this, but he brought up Kerry. Kerry's, like you say, kind of a middle-class army brat, has wanderlust in his blood, like most Irishmen. He goes to Vietnam, like most Irishmen, because Irishmen have something to prove, and they do, and they always want to help out. And he goes out there, and by God, he turns out to be a hero. He gets hurt three times. He jumps in the water once, saves a guy, and one of the basically.
Did you happen to see Nightline last night? Because they devoted most of the show to Kerry in Vietnam and how he got his medals and how he saved lives. So you've got.
But that's what an Irishman does, a young lady. He does that. That's what he wants. He has that drive to do that.
Is Kerry an Irish name, actually?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, Kerry. Yeah, that's it. Sweetie, you bonny lass. That's right. That's a county.
Well, sweetie, let me inform you. Kerry, actually, his grandfather's name was Cone, and changed it to Kerry. So everybody thinks he's Irish, but actually he's not Irish. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Are the 9/11 commissioners going to roll on this one? Are they going to cave? I don't see Richard Benveniste caving, and I don't see Jamie Gorelick caving, and former Senator Kerry from the one who used to go out with Deborah Winger. I don't see him caving, but we'll just see what happens here. Also, one of the things that John Kerry brought up at the fundraiser the other night is that you thought you got a tax cut, but everything else went up higher. Your tuition went up a lot. Other costs went up a lot. You've got tuition soaring here, an actual hike. You're supposed to have only a 1.1% mandate, but the actual hike is something in the neighborhood of, say, around 13% or so. And for a lot of people, the rate of tuition has gone up to about 31%. So all of these things that you got a tax cut that you thought was you were going to save money on, actually you wind up paying a lot more money. And then you've got toxic chemical releases into the environment, which rose 5% in 2002, marking only the second such increase reported by the EPA in nearly two decades, and the first since 1997. So more toxic pollution from this toxic administration. And here's the way they position it. They position it as, well, you know what? You can have jobs, or you can have the environment. The fact of the matter is, you can actually have both. Gas is up 41%. Tuition is up across the country 35%. So you got a tax cut? Unless you were one of the richest Americans, your tax cut was, close your eyes and what do you see? Not much. And here you have, as Kerry said, what you've got here in the White House is he's got a record to run away from. No record to run on Dickey, but a record that he would like to run away from. He wouldn't like you to know exactly what's going on. There's also a report that terrorism has increased, and that we've been hearing stories about. But contrary to reports that came out of this administration, that terrorism is down. In fact, worldwide terrorism has increased. So I don't know what we have accomplished by going into Iraq. I never knew what we were going to accomplish. 303-382-1150. Molly Ivins says, in her column today in Today's Rocky, as I.F. Stone used to say, and he was a great journalist, all governments lie, so that's not exactly a shock. But what's peculiar is the reaction in the media. She says, you may recall that when even the administration finally admitted Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction, we were treated to the following rationales. Number one, didn't make any difference because Saddam Hussein was a really, really, really bad guy anyway. He was, of course, and it was the only decent rationale for getting rid of him. It was the argument made by Tony Blair. Number two, that it was all Saddam's fault that we thought that he had weapons of mass destruction. That wily old coot fooled us by repeatedly denying that he had any, a fiendishly clever ploy. Number three, you probably shipped them all to Syria just before we got there. Number four, get over it. We've heard enough from you people. Now, torture at the prison. Number one, no worse than fraternity hazing if you listen to the administration or Mr. OxyContin across the way. Number two, just some low-level white trash. Number three, we haven't tortured nearly as many people as Saddam did. And number four, Al-Qaeda never signed no stinking Geneva Convention, so we have the right to torture them. Number five, shut up, they explained. Torture was explicitly authorized at the highest levels of government. See all the reasons above, and number six did not, number seven, so what, number eight, I'm going to say it one more time, the instructions went out to our people to adhere to the law. That ought to comfort you. We are a nation of laws. We adhere to laws. We have laws on the books. You might look at those laws. It might comfort you. Problem is the administration looked at the laws and decided to ignore them. Ahmad Chalabi is not just a liar, con man, thief, and faker of intelligence, but also apparently a spy for Iran. Number one, Chalabi. Ahmad who? Never heard of him. These are the responses from the White House. Number two, cut off all ties with Chalabi some time ago. Last week, actually. The 9/11 Commission reports there is no evidence of collaboration between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, and in fact, Iran, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia were all much bigger players with Al-Qaeda. Number one, the 9/11 Commission didn't say that. That's what the administration would say. Number two, the media are overplaying the story and they're also lazy and outrageous. Never mind that it's the media's fault that as much as the administration's, that almost 70% of Americans were under the misimpression that Saddam Hussein was directly tied to 9/11. And number three, we never claimed he was behind 9/11. No, we never did. We may have implied it. We may have hinted. We may have suggested, insinuated, intimidated, connoted, alluded to, and said it between the lines. But we never, never said it, and you can't prove we did, and then we have no idea how the great majority of Americans ever got that silly idea in the first place. So, stop reporting that it's not true. Number four, we're tired of hearing from you people that this has been going on for almost 24 hours now, and only dead Reagan gets a week's worth of our undivided attention. Back to Kobe Bryant and Lacey Peterson. All in all, she says, I think these folks have their act down. 303-382-1150. Tom, first-time caller, welcome to Enid Live.
Is this for Tom?
It is for Tom. Tom.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Tom.
I was reading William Safire's article, I believe it was yesterday, about the 911 commission. And the executive director of the commission for the staff, his last name starts with a Z. I believe it's Philip Zelkow or something. And
yeah, Zelica.
And they were criticizing him, and he is one of the Bushies. He served in the Bush administration, so they've got their own guy running it. And when they first announced that he was going to be the executive director, there was a lot of controversy about why they would choose someone that had been in the White House staff. And also, there is a record that Chalabi met with Bush in his office, so that's totally bogus that he said he never met him. So,
well, here's the story, and to clarify, because some of you have responded that somehow the members of the 9/11 Commission are disavowing the staff report. Were their contacts, here's a relevant paragraph out of the Bill Safire's column in the New York Times. Were there contacts between Al-Qaeda and Iraq? Governor Keene asked himself, yes, no question. Lee Hamilton joined in. The vice president is saying, I think that there were connections. We don't disagree with that. Just that there was no credible evidence of Iraqi cooperation in the 9/11 attack. So once again, Dick Cheney, by the way, it's being reported that the New York Times is at war with Dick Cheney because he's so lied and they've so been caught in his lies that finally they're starting to wake up slightly and letting him have it a little bit. But he's a man who just keeps lying because people want to believe it. People don't want to think that they went the wrong way on this issue. That's what I think, Tom.
Well, stick with it.
Thank you for calling. 303-382-1150. Have any of you who thought that there was a contact and substantial collaboration between 9/11 and Iraq, have any of you come to a different conclusion? Or are you all going to stick with it to your dying breath, to the last second? Some of you who voted for Bush have come to the conclusion that you're not going to do it again, that he's not good for the country. You might not be able to bring yourself to vote for Kerry, but some of you have come far enough to say, I'm not going to vote for Bush. I hope you can vote for Kerry, because you've got to get these people out. However imperfect Kerry is, and he is, he will be far, far better for all of us than Dickey. Another 4 years of Dickey, we won't have a recognizable country. It will all be shrouded in secrecy. More breaks given to the richer. We won't have a democracy as we have known it. There will not be transparency. Everything will be more expensive for us in every way, materially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every single way. We can't afford 4 more years of this regime. So you might have to hold your nose and vote for Kerry. But, you know, I think he's pretty good. I think he's smart. He's made more of his life than Dickey, who has traded on privilege to get every place that he has gone. He has squandered until he was 40 years old. He squandered most of it. Didn't appreciate it. Couldn't get in on to good schools on his own steam, only through family connections. When he tried on his own steam to the University of Texas Law School, they said sorry. But he was able to get into Harvard and Yale because of family connections. Affirmative action. But he doesn't want to give poor kids affirmative action. He doesn't want that to happen at all. But you're going to see judicial appointments here that we're going to be stuck with for decades. And I think this is a corner. You turn it in the direction of Dickey, you're in trouble. You might as well kiss it goodbye is what I think. 303-382-1150. What do you think? I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. And the corollary to that question is, what about this? What about the report? If you believe Cheney, if you thought that there was a substantial connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, has anything that you've seen lately disabused you, dissuaded you from that position? Has the 9/11 staff report dissuaded you from that position? Are you going to cling to it for dear life? I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. If you've never called a talk radio show before, consider doing it. You will be heard. You could affect the dialogue. It's free. 303-382-1150.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Hi, this is Doug Kellett for McDonald Automotive Group. You know, if there's anything people want these days, it's choice. And if you're looking for the best selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, you owe yourself a visit to McDonald Automotive Group on Broadway. Here you can find rows upon rows of Volvos, Audis, Volkswagens. In short, the region's largest selection of vehicles from some of the highest-rated pre-owned programs in the country. And that's not just their opinion, or my opinion. That is the independent opinion of IntelliChoice, which evaluates manufactured, sponsored, certified used vehicle programs on things like warranty coverage, special financing, and even roadside assistance. So there you have it, the largest selection of pre-owned Volvos, Audis, and Volkswagens. Why would you go anywhere else, especially if you're in the market for that certified pre-owned vehicle? Stop by McDonald Automotive Group today on Broadway, just south of Orchard. That's 6000 South Broadway. The phone number 303-795-1100. 303-795-1100.
I'm Hazel Miller, Colorado's Queen of the Blues. Join me tonight at Lakewood Sound's exciting summer concert series. I kick off the season at 7 p.m. KNRC is a proud sponsor of the 2004 Sound's Exciting Series that features some of Colorado's best artists live under the beautiful summer night sky. The lineup includes Chris Daniels and the Kings, presented by KCUV, Dot Farrow, Lanny Garrett, and many more. Go to www.lakewood.org or call 303-987-7845 for more information.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and allow me to introduce you to the number one public golf course in Colorado as rated by golfers and peers alike. Joining me now to talk about the Ridge at Castle Pines North is manager Daryl Fuston.
Thanks, Doug. You are right. The Ridge at Castle Pines North is consistently rated as the number one public course in Colorado. We have become the venue of choice for corporate and charity events. We are committed to providing the best golfing experience in Colorado.
It is the perfect place for corporate outings and for businessmen and women to choose to entertain their clients. When you want to take that prospective client or client to the perfect course, this is it.
And with our great restaurant, spectacular front range views, along with Troon Golf's Country Club for a Day philosophy, we are the perfect place to bring your clients and to set up corporate golf events.
And you know, we haven't even talked about the course. Once you play the beautiful 18 holes at the Ridge at Castle Pines North, you are sure to come back. Set up a tee time or call for info about your corporate or charity event. 303-688-4301. That's 303-688-4301. The Ridge at Castle Pines, your country club for a day.
Mention you heard this ad on KNRC and receive an additional 20% off.
I'm Bill Griffiths, CNBC Business Radio. The stock market's moving higher so far today as we head toward the close of trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is near its high for the session, up 49 points at 10,444, while the NASDAQ has an even better gain percentage-wise. It's up 22 points at 2016. Thousands of mutual fund companies are going to have to pick new board chairmen in the next year and a half.
In response to the mutual fund scandals, the SEC today voted that chairman will have to be independent of the companies managing those funds. It's a big change in how mutual funds are managed. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that after an out-of-court settlement, a judge has dismissed some 50 lawsuits claiming that some IBM workers got cancer from exposure to toxic chemicals. And the IPO of the day is Salesforce.com, very popular at the New York Stock Exchange. In its first day of trading, the company that sells internet-based software has been up more than 30% in today's session. The Dow's up 49, though, right now, and the Nasdaq's up 22. I'm Bill Griffith, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. I'm also the owner of a line of styling products with simple names like Clean, Cleaner, Soft, and Softer, which is only fitting since tracking the expenses that go into producing them has become pretty simple itself.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least five times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
129 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And I want to remind you, a special edition of Style Matters tonight from 6 to 8 on Obesity in America, hosted by Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman. And that's following Doug Kellett's show right here on AM 1150 KNRC. In the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by author, comedian, playwright David Sedaris, which should be just wonderful. He'll be at Tattered Cover tonight. And I want to bring your attention. You know, we had David Brooks on yesterday, who was great. He is a columnist for the New York Times. His new book is called On Paradise Drive. The reason I bring it up is, I guess, as usual, we were ahead of the curve because the review for the book appeared today in the New York Times. We had him before the book was even reviewed in the daily New York Times. It may have been it reviewed already in the weekly. I don't remember, but the Daily didn't get around to it until today's editions, and we had him on yesterday. So if you listen to Enid Live, you have some chance here of getting information before a lot of other people do. There's a story in the paper today that if you don't smoke, you could you will have 10 more years of life on average. Just want to give you that little health information. We try to keep you healthy here in every single way. We try to give you a healthy outlook about politics, the right road to politics. You'll probably live longer, too, if you get rid of this administration. I really think so. I think, you know, quit smoking and get rid of this administration. You'll live 30 years longer. 303-382-1150. It's a non-scientific opinion. Bill, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
One thing, yesterday afternoon I was on a went into Google News, and one of the stories there was about a letter that was sent from the president's office to Congress the day after they passed the war resolution to go into Iraq. And they had the text of the letter in there. And if you read the letter, depending on how the commas are placed, you know, they were making the case that this letter, the president was telling Congress that Iraq was part of the conspiracy behind 9/11. And yeah, it's just on Google, and I'm reading this thing, and I'm thinking,
all right, what do we have to do? What do we have to do to Google it? What are you Googling?
Well, I just went on Google, went into the news section. This was yesterday afternoon, and it was one of the stories that followed on with Dick Cheney and how he was firing back at everybody about.
Well, let me tell you something. There's an art to saying certain things and implying it without ever saying it, so that you satisfy the letter of the law without satisfying the spirit of the law. If you say Iraq and 9/11 in the same sentence enough times, then people get the impression that Iraq had something to do with 9/11, even though you didn't specifically say or didn't precisely say that Iraq had some substantial connection with 9/11.
Well, and you know, my point is that certainly one of the things that they hammered on Clinton about so hard was, you know, what is the definition of is? What is is, or when is is?
All right, let me ask this question.
And this letter, you know, is a perfect example of that.
Let me, this brings up a fantastic point, Bill. And the point is this. What Clinton lied about was sex. That he had sex with Monica. Right? What he lied about. He's a married man. He's embarrassed. He's getting blowies in the Oval Office, and he doesn't want anybody to know about it. So he takes a header there, and he ducks under the table, and he lies about his sexual encounter. Here you have an administration lying about far more, lying about things that get you killed, lying about the reasons for going to war. And how many now, service of our military are dead? Is it in the 800s about, the 700s, the 800s, yes. Something like that? Not to mention maimed. Wounded beyond perhaps repair in this lifetime, who will never be the same. I mean, families that are struggling because a lot of the people serving were the major breadwinners, a lot of the reservists serving. So you've got tremendous personal pain at a million levels because of these lies, and they knew they were lies. They knew it. They forced the CIA to politicize its intelligence, and the CIA couldn't buy knee pads fast enough to do it. Nobody lost their job in the most massive intelligence failure in the history of this country. They all still have their jobs, except for Tenet. He's now gone, but it took about three years for that to happen.
Well, and there was another this morning on a I don't think it was Google. I think it was on the AT&T homepage. Incredible story. An MP assigned to Guantanamo Bay, an actual MP, a reservist, I believe, according to the story. They dressed him up in a prisoner suit and they put him in a cell as part of a training exercise where you act the role of a prisoner.
Okay.
And we're going to send some people in and, you know, we're going to practice restraint or whatever. The guys that came into the cell did not realize this was an exercise. They beat this soldier to the point where he has brain damage.
Didn't he say, look, I'm an American, this is just an exercise?
Well, he had no chance. If you read the article, it implies he was unable to speak because of the way he was restrained. And they were beating this guy's head on the floor. They thought he was an actual genius.
And where is this story to be found?
That was on the AT&T homepage this morning. This particular fellow is out of Kentucky.
Send me a link to it, enid@knrcradio.com. Yeah. Thanks, Bill. 303-382-1150. And just to remind you, we do stream live, so knrcradio.com. And if you want to email me, enid@knrcradio.com, and Enid is E-N-I-D. Preston, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Preston.
I saw that story about the U.S. soldier being beaten by fellow soldiers just last night on one of the major news outfits. I forget which one.
You want to send me that link also?
This was a TV report.
Okay.
So I'm not able to. But regarding the 9/11 commission report and whether there's a connection or not, it seems like people are definitely in two different camps on that and reading different information. And I guess you can find a connection between anything. I think there's an even tighter connection between Pakistan and Iraq and Ronald Reagan and Saddam. So I think if you want to make that argument, you can make it. And Osama himself said one of the reasons why there may have been attack, although he says he wasn't involved, he said one of the reasons was because of the British and U.S. sanctions against Iraq, which was killing tens of thousands of Iraqi kids. So maybe there were some people in Iraq working together. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that I think this war is going well in some ways. I think the earlier caller had some points about, you know, there are people making a bunch of money off of this, and whether or not a bunch of Americans die and a bunch of people in Fallujah are dying, that's kind of trivial. You know, that's kind of a business expense. And the most decorated Marine in the history of the Corps, General Smedley Butler, wrote an entire book about it called War is a Racket. And people might want to reference his work. I think what he said 80 years ago very much applies today.
Preston, thank you for the information. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. John in Denver. You're live with Enid on AM 1150, KNRC.
Yeah, I would just like to say that basically I think we have to remember that any time you're involved in a war, there's going to be casualties, and that there is evil in the world. I mean, and for instance, in regards to the connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq.
Yeah, but all the more reason, if there are going to be casualties and there's going to be massive pain associated, that it be a just war, that it be a war that's worth it, that it be not sold under false pretexts.
Well, I mean, for instance, when Japan came in and bombed Pearl Harbor, the following day we declared war on Germany. And Germany had nothing to do with the planning of Pearl Harbor. You know, so basically...
We're talking about Iraq now. This is a war. This is a war. Are you in favor of us going, having gone into Iraq?
I think that we have to fight terrorism, yes.
But what did they have to do with 9/11? What did Iraq have to do with 9/11? The commission says
there were connections between Al-Qaeda and, I mean, there was like over...
The commission says that there was really no connection between them and 9/11.
Depends on who you listen to.
No. You were not on the commission. And
no,
I'm gonna we're gonna have to go by the staff report. There's no credible evidence of Iraqi cooperation in the 9/11 attack. That is what the commission said.
The commission may have an agenda.
Oh, you don't like what the commission says, so they had an agenda. Maybe the people who said the earth was round and not flat, maybe they had an agenda too, if you thought the earth was flat, right? They had an agenda.
Well, I think there's a lot of credible people that disagree with the 9/11.
But there is no credible evidence, according to a commission that has been charged with finding out exactly what happened. If you have
Al-Qaeda people.
John, do you have, what is your evidence?
Okay, I didn't write it down, but it was maybe...
You know what? You should have written it down. You could get a little matchbook and write it in that. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150. KNRC. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, and it's mostly sunny and 80 degrees now. Denver Water's reservoirs have more water than the Water Board expected. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check the roads with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Still a little bit of slow traffic northbound I-25 approaching 6th Avenue after an earlier injury accident. Things, though, start to sort themselves out ever so slowly. Eastbound Baseline Road and Highway 287 in Lafayette, those lanes are closed because of an RTD bus and a semi that are involved in an accident there. And we're also getting word of an accident on Capitol Hill. This one at Colfax and Ogden. Nobody injured in that one, though. AutoZone with the information. Get the best deals at AutoZone on ValueCraft products. This week only, get $1.79 oil filters, fan belts from $2.99, and brake pads for only $7.99 a set. Details at AutoZone. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Denver Water Board found out today that reservoirs are at 83% of capacity, higher than the board expected. Water restrictions will remain in place for the time being, although the board is going to consider allowing an extra day of watering. They'll discuss that option in a week or so. This report brought to you by Hyatt. A silo containing cement powder collapsed in Douglas County today, injuring one person, damaging a workshop. The silo belonged to a concrete producer near Highway 85 and Titan Road. Investigators are trying to figure out what caused that collapse. Following Denver's lead, Aurora will now require city workers there to take 3 days off without pay this year. The effort is designed to help Aurora deal with an $8 million budget deficit. The furlough days are in addition to some other cuts that are on the horizon. Some 85 jobs could be eliminated as well. Make your weekends longer this summer at Hyatt. Get 20% off your regular room rate any day, Thursday through Sunday, at participating Hyatts through September 6th. Book on Hyatt.com today. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
America's Department of Homeland Security wants to keep you informed during this war on terrorism.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
An AM 1150 KNRC is your best source in Denver when the government issues an alert. AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508 or online at ipfunding.com.
Tim. Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies today. Clear skies overnight. Mid-50s for tonight's temperature. Tomorrow will start off mostly sunny. Then partly cloudy skies later. Maybe some thunderstorms in the afternoon. Breezy, too. Up near 80 for tomorrow's high. Sunny and 80 degrees now. KNRC news time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Due to increased consignments of brand new cars and trucks, an official inventory clearance event will be held at Colorado's transportation destination, the Medved Autoplex.
During this closeout, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory.
Profit is not a major consideration.
Medved is stocked fence to fence with Chevrolet, Cadillac, Ford, Lincoln, Mercury,
Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Hummer.
More arrive daily. These vehicles are inaccessible to other dealers.
0% financing is available for qualified buyers. More than 50 financial institutions will be available to ensure your best possible acquisition terms.
National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value.
During this limited time event, there will be a significant price reduction on everything Medved sells.
Hurry. If you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity.
Selection is huge.
Act now.
Only at Medved on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant Medved Autoplex.
For political junkies like us, Decision 2004 is the Super Bowl. AM 1150 KNRC is going to be your best source of coverage of John Kerry versus George Bush. No one else can do a better job. AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. Now, another long set of uninterrupted talk. Here's Enid Goldstein.
1:44 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. My guest in the 2 o'clock hour, if all goes well, David Sedaris. He has a brand new book out. He'll be at Tatter Cover Lodo at 7 instead of 7:30. And the brand new book, and he has been writing fabulous books and gotten a lot of celebrity lately. The brand new book is called Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. David Sedaris, author of Me Talk Pretty One Day, another bestseller of his. We're talking about politics. We're talking about a lot of things. Joe Anderson, my producer, says definitively that there has been contact between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. You know, like Al-Qaeda used to call up Iraq all the time, and did they want a subscription to the Denver Post or something like, you know, these telemarketing calls. You just can't, you never know who's on the other end. 303-382-1150. A lot of controversy today about who Kerry should name as his running mate. Yes, Joe says, would you like to date your long-distance plan? Who Kerry's going to name as his running mate? Apparently it's down to two people, according to the Washington Insider Dinner Party Circuit, of which I am not a paying member or any member whatsoever, but hearing it reported, that the two names are Dick Gephardt, we don't need another Dick, honestly, and John Edwards. And I would go for Edwards. Edwards has more personality. Gephardt is so over. He is so yesterday. Yeah, we have enough dicks in the White House. That's right. That's what Joe says. Moratorium on dicks in the White House. I would say John Edwards would be the better. He has this magic and charisma. Maybe he's too threatening to John Kerry. I don't know. Maybe he makes him look older. Maybe, but he's, John Edwards is smart. Now you have two Johns instead of two dicks. Is that, would that be what we're going to have? Is that, we'll have two Johns in the White House. I don't know what to make of that. I'm sure we can make something of that. All right. Who is your vote? Who do you think would be a better candidate? If it's down to Dick Gephardt or John Edwards, who is the better of the two candidates? I said my vote goes, you know, hands down, John Edwards. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Some of you want to know who did this story that I was quoting from earlier. It was Molly Ivins in today's Rocky Mountain News. We have also been talking about the 9/11 Commission, and a lot of you don't want to believe the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission. This is what is astonishing to me. It's like, me, honestly, I'll use the analogy all over again. It's like being in love with somebody. You heard bad things about them. It's shown to you that they've been buying drugs, that they're the worst, and you don't want to hear it. So when you say, okay, you don't agree with the 9/11 Commission, and the 9/11 Commission has concluded, at least in the preliminary staff report, no credible evidence of Iraqi cooperation in the 9/11 attack. Okay, fine. people say, well, I don't believe it. It's not true. Okay, fine. You don't have to believe it. What's your evidence? Oh, well, I didn't write it down. Well, if you did write it down, it wouldn't fill up a matchbook. What is your evidence? You don't have, you know, I believe that the earth is flat. Fine. What's your evidence? Well, no evidence. I just want to believe it. Fine. Everybody made such a big deal. Oh, and people calling in, I want to say this. Somebody called in yesterday, all bent out of shape, that I call George W. Bush Dickie. Disrespectful. Is that the same person who might have called Clinton Slick Willie? Would that be the same? Was it okay to call Clinton Slick Willie? But Dickie, you're not allowed to say 303-382-1150. Oh, the shoe was on the other foot. Keith, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I think we need to remember the ties that that we've had with both Saddam and Osama. When Dick Cheney comes out and says they had, you know, long-standing historical ties.
Say this again.
The ties that Dick Cheney accuses Saddam and Osama of having.
Yeah.
I think we need to remember that the U.S. government has had long-standing ties with Osama and Saddam.
That's true. That's a very good, that's an excellent point.
I mean, does that make us terrorists?
Well, it's a good thing nobody went to war against us for that, right?
Right.
Okay.
I just don't think it holds much water when he says they have ties. That doesn't mean much.
But it's not about logic. You hear the same drumbeat of the over 1,000 conservative talk hosts in America who excrete the same BS. And then you have these the sheep who listen and call me to say, well, I don't believe it. All right, fine. What's your evidence? Oh, well, I forgot to write it down.
Yeah.
Thank you, Keith. 303-382-1150. Bob, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Bob.
If you're looking for a conservative who agrees that the 9/11 commission was right, I do.
You
and,
do?
And I listen to Rush, and I listen to you, and I listen to Hannity, and I listen to all sorts. And I honestly haven't heard them say that the 9/11 commission was wrong.
All right. Were you in favor? Did you believe when the war was going down that there was a connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq? At that time, was that part of what persuaded you to be in favor of the war?
I believe that there was a connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, but not necessarily there was a connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq on the coordination of 9/11.
Okay, but you felt that there was a connection, and now you feel that was not the case. Is that correct?
Say that again?
Now you feel that was not the case, that there was not a connection. Any substantial connection?
No, I think that there's a connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. I just don't necessarily think that connection involved 9/11.
Okay.
Like the coordination of the event of 9/11.
Okay. So what are you going to do then when what are you going to do when it comes to voting for president?
Well, I'm going to vote for George Bush, of course.
Why? He's lied to you.
No, he never said that there was a connection.
Of course he did.
9/11.
He implied it in a million ways. And so did everybody in his administration.
He implied it, but he never stated that.
But he implied a lie, and he implied it because he could get away with saying, well, I never said that there was a connection, but he wanted you to believe that there was.
Well, if you want me to vote against somebody on something you imply, that's all.
He lied to you twice. He told you he lied to you about weapons of mass destruction. He wanted you to believe that they were there. He wanted you to believe that Iraq went and tried to buy enriched uranium from Niger when he knew that that wasn't true. And he lied to you about any substantial connection between 9/11 and Iraq or Al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Well,
and he lied to you in three ways, and lives have been lost and resources squandered, goodwill squandered. We've taken our eyes off of the real war on terrorism in Afghanistan and Osama bin Laden. We've made ourselves less safe, not more safe. And you're going to vote for him again.
Of course I am.
And why would that be? Why? What are the reasons you're going to vote for him for?
Because I honestly believe, and this is the truth, that if Al-Qaeda could pick between John Kerry and George Bush, they'd pick John Kerry every day of the week.
Because you believe that Al-Qaeda would pick John Kerry, and that's why you're going to vote for George Bush. What has George Bush done substantively well in these last three years?
John Kerry had to turn away funds that they were, that there have been.
No, don't talk to me about John Kerry right now. Talk to me about why Dickie has.
To their campaign.
Talk to me about why Dickie has done such so fabulous a job that you're going to feel compelled to vote for him again. What is it that he's done well?
What has he done well?
Mm-hmm.
On what issue?
Any issue.
I think he did. He's done well on the economy, and I think that he's done well on the war. I think that he is.
We have historic deficits. You forgot about that part?
We have deficits, but...
Historic deficits.
Deficits are the result of spending, not as a result of a lack of taxation, which is something that the Democrats buy into.
He hasn't cut spending. He's made the hugest bureaucracy in the last 50, 60 years, maybe ever, with the Department of Homeland Security.
You got off your argument. Your original argument was on the issue of did he lie to me, and I didn't lie to me.
He lied to you in every single way. He lied to you by pretending that something was true when he knew it wasn't. He lied to you in three ways: weapons of mass destruction, enriched uranium in Iraq, and he lied to... Wait a minute. It's not about Bill Clinton. He has lied to you about a substantial connection between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. He's lied to you in all of those ways. And you, Bob, you're so dopey, you're going to vote for him all over again. And I don't know. I think there's no hope for you. 303-382-1150. Richard calling on a payphone. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
There was just this little thing that you had a caller just a moment ago stating non-fact, but as is typical with conservatives, they often do that. And he said that after Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, we just unilaterally declared war on Japan. That is absolutely nonsense because of Hitler's tripartite pact with Italy and Japan. They declared, Hitler's Germany declared war on the United States after Pearl Harbor, as per their agreement. And, it just always amazes me how conservatives will take historical fact and distort them as well as current events.
Thanks, Richard, for
what
setting.
What did I say?
Thanks for setting the record straight. 303-382-1150. I'm Ian Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Was important to me.
You can rely on us at Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm a single mom and I've always got somewhere to go.
No matter where you are.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. When I take the kids to school.
When it's important to you.
News is important to me.
Rely on Denver's AM 1150.
That's what's important to me.
KNRC.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Dex is your most complete source for local information. In the book, on CD-ROM, and at DexOnline.com. Dex knows.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm with Two Crazy Ladies Clothing and Gifts over by the Denver Merchandise Mart. I am a liquidator of fine designer apparel, such as Tommy Hilfiger, Liz Claiborne, DKNY, Eddie Bauer, Perry Ellis, Sue Wong, and many more items like that. On Wacky Wednesday, I go off the deep end. I can hack prices. I can do two-for-ones. I can take the most expensive garment I have and probably just hand it to you saying, it's Wacky Wednesday, you were my eighth customer, come on in, take this and go. I'm so cheap that even on a Wacky Wednesday, I took all my prom dresses that went from $90 to $350. And I did one day of $29.99. Come down and get them. I mean Scala, Jessica McClintock, RexoXO, and Rampage. That's how cheap I get. I can sell this cheap because I buy it as liquidated goods from these major department stores. They didn't want a duplicate shipment. I buy that dirt cheap.
Two Crazy Ladies at 5686 Logan Court, Suite F, 58th, right off I-25 across from the Merchandise Mart. 303-298-8589. 303-298-8589.
I'm Crazy Mary. I go off the deep end.
Next. I need something for my feet.
Yeah, I caught a whiff.
Fred, to the front. We got a guy here with smelly feet. Bring the good stuff. To Dr. Scholl's.
Thanks a lot.
Whoa, you must be the smelly feet guy. Here.
Dr. Scholl's deodorant foot powder?
Oh, yeah, it works immediately and lasts all day.
But what about that gold?
Look, I've been in your shoes. Well, thankfully not your shoes. Dr. Scholl's is better. It has more odor-destroying power than that Gold Bond foot powder.
I'll take it.
He's taking the Dr. Scholl's, folks.
Dr. Scholl's foot powder. Get the odor out now.
Meet Jim and Bob.
Hello.
Hey there. Before his family's big holiday weekend, Jim bought a new set of tires.
Yes, sir.
So did Bob.
That's right.
But Bob's were installed by a certified technician.
Certified?
And he enjoyed new lower prices.
Lower prices?
On hundreds of tires.
Hundreds?
And that's because Bob went to Sears Auto Center.
I should have gone there.
For tires, batteries, oil changes, brake service, and shocks, head to Sears Auto Center.
Hurry in now through July 3rd and save even more on all Michelin and BF Goodrich tires. Sears, good life, great price.
AutoZone has hot prices on Mobil 1. For a limited time, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 motor oil plus a Mobil 1 oil filter for only $29.99. Details at AutoZone.
Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. for the Kiefel Cycling Hour, featuring seven-time Tour de France competitor and Olympic bronze medalist Ron Kiefel. Ron and Megan will talk about cycling news, equipment, and great local rides. It doesn't matter if you're training for the Tour de France like Ron Kiefel, or in Megan's case, just taking those training wheels off for the first time. The Kiefel Cycling Hour has something for everyone, every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC.
The regular season gets turned up a notch. It's playoff time. It's playoff time. The NBA, the NHL, complete playoff coverage here with Tony DeSiri. Scores, updates, analysis. Mornings during the Jimmy Lakey Show. Complete coverage here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
157 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. David Sedaris should be joining us in the next hour. The author is very funny and very talented, and he'll be a tighter cover tonight, low dose, 7 o'clock. A little bit departure from usual time. Let's go to the phones. Joshua calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. I just wanted to comment on your conservative caller that seems to want to come off as being a moderate. In terms of the 9/11 commission and ties between Iraq and the Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, mm-hmm. not only did he have no ties to 9/11, but he had no ties to Iraq. First of all, the Al-Qaeda is an Islamic extremist group, and Saddam Hussein's government was a secular.
You know, Al-Qaeda sounds like a guy who's selling really awful used cars. But
oh, I know. Okay. I'm sure I'm butchering the name, and I apologize.
Al-Qaeda, I think, is the way we say it. All right. So you're saying that one was secular and one wasn't. Al-Qaeda's fundamentalist.
One was an Islamic extremist group.
Right,
and,
right.
And in fact, I think Saddam Hussein, or I'm sorry, Osama bin Laden, approached Saddam in an attempt to establish a terrorist camp in Iraq, and Saddam declined that.
Yes,
and
that's what we know.
Those were the only contacts between the two.
All right, Joshua, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry, we're out of time in this hour. Thank you for the call and for setting the record straight. 303-321-1150, one more hour of Enid Live coming up right here on what station are we on? Oh, AM 1150 KNRC. And tell your friends, if you love what you're hearing here, tell your friends. It's the way that we will succeed. Coming up in the next hour, author David Sedaris, author of Me Talk Pretty One Day, new book, Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. Our man in Baghdad is now veteran diplomat John Negroponte. Secretary of State Colin Powell has sworn him in as the new American ambassador.
John, we saved the most challenging jobs for you. And it's safe to say that Baghdad is no exception to that rule. The president has chosen you for one of the toughest and most critical positions in all of government.
A career diplomat, Negroponte promises to help stabilize Iraq. The Scott Peterson murder trial continues in California without one of the original jurors. He was replaced after he was seen talking to the brother of Lacey Peterson. Scott Peterson accused of killing her and the unborn child she was carrying. A tobacco farmer, some call Tractor Man, has been sentenced to 6 years in prison. Last year, Dwight Watson virtually paralyzed traffic in Washington, D.C. when he parked his tractor near the Washington Monument. He claimed he had bombs on board. I'm Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
When you hear sangria, you might think fruit, party, fun. And yes, you'd be right, my friend. That is why I leap for joy over Arbor Mist Wine Blender's newest flavor. Sangria is frosty, is smooth. Some might even say sexy. The wine's already in there. Just add ice, blend, and ay, 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 esta bebida tiene un sabor increíble. That means it's very good. New Arbor Mist Sangria Wine Blenders. Can't resist the mist. Arbor Mist Winery, Canandaigua, New York.
Let's be honest. By now, you've probably heard of Levitra, Levitra Vardenafil HCl. I bet you're still wondering, Does Levitra really do what it's supposed to?
Well, I can tell you, but where's the fun in that?
Talk to your doctor.
Find out for yourself.
You know, when they say nothing ventured, nothing gained, they aren't kidding.
Ask your doctor if a free trial is right for you. Call 1-866-LEVITRA or visit Levitra.com to find out more. Levitra, when it counts.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 80 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A silo full of cement powder collapsed in Douglas County today. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Freeway traffic now moving along in pretty good shape. We've had a bunch of problems this afternoon, but according to the latest look at the CDOT maps, everything's moving along at posted freeway speeds. Colfax and Ogden on Capitol Hill, watch for the remnants of a minor collision there. And eastbound baseline at Highway 287 there in Lafayette, RTD bus and a semi got tangled up in an accident. That's causing you some delays as well. Also the remnants of an accident, Federal and Virginia. AutoZone with the information. For a limited time at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 and a Mobil 1 oil filter for $29.99 and get a mail-in offer for a free Mobil 1 die-cast race car. Details at AutoZone. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Only one injury when a silo holding 25 tons of cement powder collapsed onto a building near Santa Fe and Titan this morning. It happened at ENC Concrete not long before noon as Chicho Sines was walking outside the concrete plant.
I heard a noise and I look around and the silo is going down.
The silo landed only several feet away from 5 crewmen inside an adjoining metal workshop. All get out okay, apart from the one man's injury. South Metro Fire Crew is still trying to figure out what went wrong. This report brought to you by the network of 18 John Elway AutoNation showrooms. Denver firefighters spent the morning working a fire at a townhome on South Ulster. 2 women suffered smoke inhalation and some minor burns. No one was home in the unit where the fire started. Investigators still trying to figure out how that blaze began. Governor Bill Owens has declared this week Colorado Missing Children's Week. Every day, 41 children in the state are reported missing. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation says most missing children turn out to be runaways or kids trapped in bitter child custody cases. In sports, the Colorado Rockies and Milwaukee Brewers continue their 3-game series tonight, with Sean Estes getting the start for the Rocks. Last night, Rockies lost the series opener 6-2. John Elway Showrooms are celebrating July 4th independence. Declare independence from your old car, high interest rates, and get the highest factory incentives ever offered. Go to the John Elway showrooms today. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:04.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150. KNRC. KNRC.
My name is Susan, and I notice a flatter, sexier tummy in 19 days with Gelathin.
I'm Melissa. My stomach and butt tighter in about a week and a half with Gelathin.
I'm Tina. Gelathin helped my legs firm up in about 2 weeks.
Rachel, I'm 32 with a baby. Diet and exercise isn't enough to get rid of that embarrassing pouch on my waistline until I use Gelathin. Tummy pouch gone in like 2 weeks.
Hi, this is Cindy, and all I have to say is they finally came out with a product that gets rid of that cellulite.
My 3rd week on Gelathin. Smoother legs, leaner arms, better toned. I can't believe how well it works.
Yeah, it's easy. My midsection and arms are toning up. I'll bet you. Gelathin is what celebrities use to get that no-fat, perfect-shaped look.
Call now for a risk-free trial of Gelathin. It's guaranteed. Call 800-870-9641. For a flatter, sexier tummy, call 800-870-9641. Call now. 800-870-9641. Rub out the fat in 19 days at 800-870-9641.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly sunny skies for us today. Clear skies overnight down into the mid-50s. For tomorrow, we'll start off mostly sunny, then see some clouds build up in the day. Maybe some afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow. Breezy, too. Tomorrow's high up near 80. Mostly sunny and 80 now. KNRC News Time is 2:06. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:06, 6 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. A couple of pieces of housekeeping information. First of all, I'm going to be on Air America Sunday night, 7 to 8. Tonight, a special edition of Style Matters from 6 to 8 on obesity in America. So right after Doug Kellett Live. This weekend, the Cherry Blossom Festival right here at Sakura Square, Lawrence, between 19th and 20th. Joining me now, live in studio, one of the best authors, somebody who is just fabulous. He is smart. He is funny. He's a former elf. His name is David Sedaris. And you can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover Low Dose, 7 p.m., not the usual 7:30. He has a brand new book called Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. One of his previous books was a runaway bestseller, Me Talk Pretty One Day. You can hear him on NPR. And now you can hear him on Enid Live on AM 1150. David Sedaris, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Talk right into the microphone.
Okay.
Would you like some water or some coffee?
I'm fine, thank you.
Are you sure? Because
mm-hmm.
we can get you some.
I'll take some water.
You want some water?
Joe, can you bring some water into David?
When I first heard about you, and I heard the Santa's Elf story, it reminded me of a friend of mine who actually had been a Santa's Elf, too. She was she had not passed the bar. She'd gone to law school. Actually, she'd gone to law school with Dan Quayle and Marilyn Quayle and had trouble passing the bar. And so to make ends meet one Christmas, she, too, was a Santa's Elf, only she's even tinier. You know, she's very tiny. She's about the size of an elf. So I've been hearing these elf stories for a long time. And then I heard your elf story. Tell us about it.
Oh, gee, it was the first thing I had on the radio. I was living in Chicago, and I was teaching writing. And I was never qualified to teach, really. It was a friend of mine was department head, so he gave me this job. And I moved to New York, and the only job I could find was as an elf at Santaland at Macy's. So I went from being called Mr. Sedaris to being called Crumpet. We had to have little elf names. And it was really, looking back, it was the best job I ever had. I mean, I really made hay of that job.
Why?
Well, I just kept a diary while I was working there. I've been keeping a diary forever. And then I just compiled a bunch of different diary entries. And I think it was the first time I ever worked with the public. So I think my observations were the observations anyone would have if they were working with the public. But I think when you do it for a while, you forget and it becomes normal to you. But an elf's life is only, you know, like 5 weeks long. So it doesn't wear off. The novelty of working with the public does not wear off if you're only doing it for 5 weeks. So.
And if it became then the basis for your, was it your first novel? Or your first, your first book?
It was the first story I had on the radio. And a fellow named Ira Glass, who I'd met while in Chicago, he was a reporter at that time for All Things Considered, and he had heard me read something else in Chicago, and then he called me up years later to ask if I had anything that would work for a local show he had called The Wild Room, an NPR show. So I recorded it, and then he put it on a show called Morning Edition. So, and I don't know, everyone happened to be listening to the radio that day.
You started out life, your family, talk to me about your family, because it's not a conventional family that you grew up in.
Well, I guess any...
Or it's conventional to you because it's your family. It's the water the fish swims in.
Right, and any family that seems normal to you that you have. And I'm lucky. I'm incredibly lucky. I have four sisters and a brother, and I genuinely like all of them. And we're all in our 40s now, and we talk on the phone every week, and we see each other every chance we get. And we're very close, and my brothers and sisters are very, very funny, and they're eminently quotable.
Well, your sister Amy.
My sister Amy is professionally funny, and she's often on David Letterman, and she's in movies, and she had her TV show for a while. And then the others are...
Did your success follow hers? Or did her success follow yours? Or was it around the same time?
Gee, I moved to Chicago in 1984, and Amy was working as a waitress in Raleigh. And I said to her, there's this place up here called Second City, and I think you'd do really well here. So she moved to Chicago and then got involved with Second City, and then I moved to New York, and we were writing little plays together, and I moved to New York, and then she moved to New York, and my first book came out just as her first television series was coming out. So really, it was about the same time.
And where are you in the six children?
Number two.
And where is she?
She is number four. Yeah, number four.
And so your family, I was just looking through. We weren't sure you were going to be on, so I haven't had a lot of chance to go through the book since it wasn't sent, actually. We only got it a few minutes ago. Going through the book, your family moved around a lot, was the impression I had.
No, we moved once. We moved from New York State to Raleigh, North Carolina. I moved a lot. I mean, I was not happy living in Raleigh, North Carolina, even as a child. It just wasn't what I had in mind.
Did you always know you were going to be a writer?
No, I just started writing one day. I wanted to be an actor, and then I'm horrible. I have all these nervous tics that just came to life when I was on stage. Boy, I was a mess. I was in the high school play, and I was like a twitching moron on that stage.
So a symphony of tics.
Yeah, so that there went that. So then I was going to be a visual artist, and I have really no talent for it whatsoever. I mean, I was in a few shows, but, you know, that doesn't mean I was any good. And then I went to art school in Chicago.
Art Institute?
Yeah. But before I went to the Art Institute, I started keeping a diary. And I just noticed that I was more affected by what I read than what I saw. So really, by the time I went to the Art Institute, I was more interested in writing than I was in visual art. So I guess when I was about 25, I thought, I think this is really what I would like to do.
Did you think fiction, nonfiction?
All I was doing was writing in a diary at that point, and I thought, well, that just seems pretty unlikely, you know, that you're going to get anywhere doing that. So, and I started writing little stories when I went to college. I took a writing class, and I started writing little stories there.
And meanwhile, how are you supporting yourself when you're going through all of this? You're going to act, and then you're going to be an artist, and then you realize you're going to be a writer. What, besides being a Santa's elf, did you have a bunch, and you're teaching writing in Chicago?
I don't have any skills, really. I could type just with one finger. I've never seen the internet or email. I don't.
You don't do any email at all?
No. I don't know how to drive. I've never worked a cash register.
How come you don't know how to drive?
Because I was always convinced that I was going to kill a child. I mean, from the very beginning, I thought, if I drive a car, I will kill a child. And I would also be one of those people that stopped constantly thinking, I know I hit a child back there, and pulling over and searching the bushes beside the road looking for the body. So I've never done it. And actually, that kept me at home. Well, when I was a teenager, when all my friends were going off to the lake and doing this and that, I just stayed at home. You know, memorizing, like, monologues from plays, you know, from my acting career, or, you know, painting horrible pictures from my artistic career. And I think if I'd had a car, I don't know, I'd probably have more to write about. But I don't know, I think I would have discovered freedom, and I would have discovered that I would have relied on other people to entertain me.
You might have run away from your gift. If you'd
or driven away from it. Yeah,
driven
I think
away
I would
and,
have.
And hit countless children en route.
And so I just wanted to move to a city that had public transportation. So I moved to Chicago, and then I left Chicago and I moved to New York. And then I left New York and I moved to Paris. And now I pretty much live in London.
You do live in London.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you go to Paris?
Well, because I'm a heavy smoker. And if you want to live with dignity, As a smoker, you have to leave the United States.
Well, you can't stay in New York now.
No.
And you can't go to California because they'll throw you out of every place.
And you can't go.
You're among the new pariah if you're a smoker.
No, every day it becomes more. I mean, I've gone to lots of cities in this country that I think this city's a dump. And you can't smoke, like, outside the airport. Like, you have to walk 50 feet before you can have a cigarette outside of. You know, when you name the city, I didn't mean this city was a dump. I meant you get to a city and you, and I can't believe it every time I get there that you, so most places.
Now, there's research
like
that just came out that said that if you don't smoke, you'll live 10 years longer.
I don't care. I really don't. I'm going to die when I'm 62.
How do you know?
I just always knew. I always had it in my mind. So, you know, even if I'm perfectly healthy when I'm 62, I think I'll just die because I will have convinced myself.
Why do you not use the internet?
Or email? I have my hands full, really. you know, you pick up a newspaper and there's something in the newspaper that's really just throws you back, you know, like a story about witches being burned in India. And that's enough to chew on for one day. Or you turn on the television. I'm not a big TV watcher, but you turn on the television in England and there's a show on called Blind School. And it's just a weekly documentary about these kids, blind kids who go to a blind school. So, if I'm looking for something to write about in my diary or whatever, there's plenty out there. And I guess the internet, I guess I just have my hands full now. And then with email, I don't know, I guess I worried that I wouldn't get any real letters anymore. And I don't know, people are always asking for your email address, and they always seem kind of scary to me, and so it feels good to be able to say, with all honesty, I don't have an email address. So, and a lot of people are just too lazy to write a regular letter anymore, so that's fine.
I was just thinking the other day that I haven't had a real letter from anybody in a really long time. Bills, yes. Junk mail, yes. But a real letter, you know, people pick up a phone or they email, or if you're lucky, you actually get to see a live person.
Well, especially if you live overseas, because people think, oh, I can't do that. I can't buy a stamp for England. Like, I wouldn't know how to. Or it would.
All you have to do is go to the post office.
Right, right.
It's pretty simple, but people don't even want to go to the post office, and they call it snail mail, so, you know, the ultimate.
Well, and I guess now they just order down their stamps on the computer.
Yeah, you can do that. But this way, if you email, you don't have to go to the post office. And, you know.
Well, I see funny things all the time that people give me that they found on the internet, and I think, God, that's really funny. But I have people who send me those, so I don't really need to find it myself, I suppose.
Now that you're living in England, and you have lived in France, your eye, which is an acute eye anyway, and acute eye too, what do you see? What are you seeing about us? And what are you hearing about us? You know, we're at war. It's all coming apart. I call the president Dickie, because now I can say there are two Dicks running the White House, Dick Cheney and George W. Dickie Bush. And some people, conservatives, the very ones who call Bill Clinton Slick Willie, they get very offended by this. But what are you seeing about Americans that we are too close to, and it doesn't have to be political, that we don't see about ourselves?
Well, there's a lot. I think you don't realize how American you are until you move to another country. Like, I realized living in France and England, as an American, you ask someone, what do you do for a living? And that's rude. That's rude to ask in both France and England. Because basically what you want to know is, how much money do you have?
Or where can I put you on the social, on
right,
the social food chain?
Right. In America, if someone says, I like your watch, then you say, well, you should. It costs $8,000. And you just don't. And you realize when you live overseas how American you are in ways that you didn't realize it. I find that the French really bend over backwards to differentiate between the American people and the American government. They really do. Which is a hard thing to, it's hard to do that. I was in Germany a while ago and I ordered a coffee and the waitress brought it to me and then it started to rain and I wanted my check and I couldn't see her. I couldn't find her anywhere and I started thinking, you know, damn lazy people, we should have bombed this country, you know, we should have flattened it in World War II. And it's so easy to do that. And I find really the French have really bent over backwards. And they'll say, look, I hate your president. I absolutely hate your president.
But they can be so snooty to Americans, the French.
Well, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that France is such a formal, it's such a formal society, and really nothing happens with anyone until you observe those formalities. And if you don't speak French, then you don't observe those. So you're already kind of getting off
on the wrong foot.
On the wrong foot. And I see Americans in Paris all the time, you know, like going to the fine restaurant dressed like they're gonna
in shorts,
right,
and fat with a fanny pack on,
and then yelling and raising their voices and cutting to the front of the line, and I don't think that they're being treated poorly because they're American. I just think that they're being treated poorly because they're obnoxious. And again, I'm not saying all Americans who are vacationing are like that, but I haven't had any problem. I mean, maybe I came from New York, so the bar was set pretty high in terms of behavior that's not particularly warm. But I haven't had a big problem with it. And I notice more sort of anti-American feeling in England than I do in France.
In England?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you mean, are they differentiating between the government and individuals, Americans, or not as much as the French?
Well, I think the difference is that they have troops in Iraq. So, and they're furious with Tony Blair. Furious with
him. Do they feel like he got suckered by Dickey?
Well, not suckered, but that he's often portrayed as a poodle in the editorial cartoons.
Right.
And they don't
understand. To the Americans.
And there was a huge, and it wasn't like the majority of English people were for this. I mean, huge demonstrations against it. Huge. But I think the difference in England is because they can read things without translation, so they understand that there is dissent. I don't know. Michael Moore is huge in Europe. A lot of Europeans think that Michael Moore is the only person, the only American, who is standing up to this administration. And you want to say, no, there's a lot of them. You know, really, there's a lot of them. But I guess they don't. I don't know. They don't hear from them as much, I suppose.
My guest is David Sedaris. His new book is called Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7 p.m. instead of the usual 7:30 p.m. David, tell me what the book is. If you were to asked to do the impossible, which is to describe your new book, Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim, how would you respond?
Well, it's a collection of personal essays. Everything was published before, and the majority of the stories were published in The New Yorker. And, oh, golly, I mean, they're all, I just write about my own life, but nothing really happens to me. So it's an exercise in making something of nothing. And there's a story in the book.
Not to mention recycling your previously published columns, but you have wonderful takes on things. You have a great eye. You are hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
And there's something, I don't know what I want to say here. Maybe touching you touch the universal in the way that you do it. And I'm curious to know, in this family of six children, how is it that you're all funny? How is it that, A, you all get along? How is it that you're all funny, and so funny that two of you are professionally funny while four of you are unprofessionally funny?
Well, I think because we were just crazy about our mom. And my sister Lisa has this theory that she can tell if someone's an only child. Because if you're an only child, you can come home from school and tell your mother this long, involved story, and she'll pretend to listen to it. But if there's six kids in the family, then there's always someone wanting to cut in and interrupt you. So if your story goes nowhere, or if you kind of lose the ball in the middle of it, someone else is going to jump in and tell a better story. So we just learned that the truth isn't terribly important, and that you beef something up.
It's more
and
important.
You compress events, and you beef up dialogue, and you add violence to it if possible. So you could. So we just wanted to get our mom's attention and to hold it. And she preferred things that were funny. So we just wanted to make her laugh. That's all we ever
wanted. What did your dad
do?
What did he do?
My dad worked for IBM, and he didn't have a sense of humor at all.
He does not?
No, and he wasn't really in the... he provided for us, and he lived with us and everything, but he didn't ever get the joke. When my dad tries to tell a joke, it's like a caption from like a 1920 New Yorker cartoon that no one understands, you know? And you, you look at it and you think... Well, at one time, I guess that made sense, but it doesn't anymore. So he was just the outsider.
My guest is David Sedaris. Can you hang with us for a few more minutes?
Sure.
His new book is Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. It's a collection of some of his previously published work, some of it in The New Yorker. You can meet him tonight, and you will have a wonderful time if you do at Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7 o'clock. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Lock us in on your first preset. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. The way Denver spells talk radio. KNRC. KNRC.
Hi. Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
Colorado is famous for sports, and with over 300 days of sun a year, prescription sunglasses are a necessity. Hi, I'm Bev Rulo, owner of International Optique. Prescription sunglasses for sports and daily activities offer better visual clarity, 100% UV protection, and are much more relaxing for your eyes. Without UV-protected sunwear, your eyes burn, just like your skin. When looking for the best prescription sunglasses in Denver, visit International Optique at Tamarack Square. Join our entire staff now through the end of July for our fabulous annual sunglass sale. Receive a 25% discount off prescription sunglasses and ready-to-wear sunglasses. Look sporty, fashionable, or just way cool. At International Optique, you will find a staff trained in sport lenses for all seasons. So don't wait. Come visit International Optique at Tamarack Square. See you soon.
This Sunday night, visit the Hudson Gardens and Event Center for a great night of music with Lanny Garrett. And while you're at the show, stop by the KNRC booth to register for a getaway weekend at Breckenridge, including three nights lodging and two rounds of golf. Breckenridge, with over 150 things to do and see this summer, why not stay the weekend? Call 1-800-GO-BREC or visit GoBreck.com. To enter, visit the KNRC booth at Hudson Gardens and Event Center this Sunday.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour. The Dow now up 4 points. The Nasdaq's above 2,000, up 13 points. A divided Securities and Exchange Commission has ruled mutual fund boards must have chairmen who are independent from the companies managing the funds. Two of the three Republicans on the panel voted against the requirement. For years, the Comdex Computer Trade Show in Vegas was the biggest event for the tech calendar, but falling attendance and vendor interest has taken its toll. Comdex has been canceled for this year, and maybe forever. The big shows now involve consumer electronics and specialist IT gear. 50 cases brought against IBM by current and former workers have been settled and dismissed by a California judge. The workers charged cancer and other health problems occurred because of jobs in IBM's disk drive plants. Other cases are still pending. Big IPO day today for Salesforce.com. The company makes customer relations software, and on its first day of public trading, its shares rose some 37%. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. I'm also the owner of a line of styling products with simple names like Clean, Cleaner, Soft, and Softer, which is only fitting since tracking the expenses that go into producing them has become pretty simple itself.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got GEICO. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. Online at GEICO.com.
She's the Rush alternative.
Did you talk about something else?
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:31 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me live in studio, we think he's live. We're going to take a have a pulse check here in just a second. David Sedaris, we know he's live. Previous bestseller, Me Talk Pretty One Day, that I think we've all heard about. New book, Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. You can meet him tonight, Tattered Cover Lodo, 7 o'clock, not 7:30. Which is their usual start time. You're living. What are you doing next? We're talking in the break, and fiction is. You're supposed to write some sort of fiction.
I'm supposed to write a novel.
But
I don't know how to, and I have a 10-page attention span. So actually, I have 6 novels already. Each one is 10 pages long, and so I thought maybe I could have them published in those little teeny books. You know, like you see, like.
At the checkout stand in bookstores.
No, even smaller.
They're like, really, you need x-ray vision or a huge microscope to see what the print is.
And they could attach them to a keychain. I mean, it would be really small. They could sell them in gumball machines. But I don't, the hard thing is I really do, 10 pages is enough for me. But if you read a novel, you have to have a reason to turn from page 238 to 239. So the author has to have the ability to plot ahead. People turn my pages because they think, well, there's just 5 of them, why not? But I think with a longer book, and I'm not a plotter, really. So I'll give it a try. I thought maybe I could take a class about how to write a novel.
Where would you take the class?
I'd take it in London.
You would?
Yeah, to just take a class on how to write a novel. And I'd probably wind up writing a novel about somebody who's taking a class about how to write a novel.
And about the teacher, trying to teach. You know the great Gore Vidal line, which is that writing has teaching has ruined more writers than drink.
That's probably true.
But it seems to me that since you spent a lifetime trying to amuse your mother and getting her to turn the pages, at least not to toss you away for the next good story, it seems like you have all the you've already been trained.
Well, I never went to graduate school. At the Art Institute, at the time that I went, they had really great teachers, Jim McManus and Susan Wheeler. And you had to take English classes, but people just took them because they had to. And the teachers had a lot to give and nobody who wanted it. And I wanted it. So it was like having my own private teachers. But then I didn't go to graduate school because I don't know. I mean, I always figured that if you write every day and if you read everything you get your hands on, then you're going to improve. You know, when you go through a phase of sounding like other people, but eventually you find what you're supposed to sound like. And then when I was teaching, I was even at the time, I was apologizing to my students. I was trying to find how to fill 2 hours. So I would have them watch One Life to Live, which I love, One Life to Live.
I have to tell you, my cousin used to write for the soaps. It might have been One Life to Live. Young and the Restless, I think, was one of them.
One Life to Live was so good at that time. And so we would watch, let's say, 3/4 of an episode, and then I would say, all right, write what you think happens in the last 15 minutes of the show. I was just desperately, desperately trying to fill that time. And I had a couple of students who were really talented, and I felt bad for them because I don't know how to fix things. I mean, I guess I know how to fix things for myself, but I don't really have words for what's wrong.
What advice would you give to writers? You got your first book published roughly 10 years ago, so you were about 37 years old when this happened. Mm-hmm. You moved to Paris because you can smoke even in hospitals there. London isn't quite so good. People want to know how to write. Mickey Spillane used to say, whenever I need money, I just go buy some paper and pencils and start writing. Henry Miller, when he was broke, would do watercolors and barter. He would use it as money. He'd go to restaurants and give a watercolor for the meal. He created his own currency. All of that has nothing whatever to do with what you need to know to be a good writer. But what do you need to know if you were to distill any kind of wisdom that you've accumulated?
I mean, again, my only advice would just be to write every day and to read everything you can get your hands on and not to expect anything. When you go on a book tour, I get a lot of manuscripts. Somebody will come up, you know, and I can spot them coming because they have a big bag in front of them and they don't have a book in their hand. And they say, I don't have enough money to afford your book, whatever, but I was wondering if you could read mine. This is something I'm trying to have published. And then they pull it out of the big bag that they've got. And they're usually very young. And I never at that age expected to be published, right? I mean, I hoped one day to be, but I didn't expect that it would happen when I was 22 or 25. And often when people do that, I think that their talent is for self-promotion. It's not for writing. And it sounds screwy. It really does. But I was always told, you know, write every day, and then when the time is right, somebody will come up and ask you if you have a book. And that's exactly what happened to me.
When you say write every day, do you mean even just diary entries?
Yes, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what it is?
Right. It can be diary entries. It can be letters. I mean, preferably it would be a story or something that you're working on. But that said, I mean, I've been very lucky for the last 10 years is that, you know, people are asking me for things. Like an editor will say, can you give me this story by next month? And it's much easier if you've got some people waiting who are actually going to read something. I think it's very hard to write in a vacuum. I mean, I did it for years, but even then I would read out loud. You know, there would be these readings, and so I would work on something to read at that reading, right?
Yeah, but then you'd write it, and then you'd have to go try to find a home for it. So that takes, a whole other set of considerations.
But I like reading out loud, so that was always a part of it.
No, I mean trying to sell the thing. If nobody's waiting for your piece.
Right, right. Yeah, then it's hard. But I don't know, for years I had a job, and then I came and wrote at night. And it was never important to me that I write all the time. I don't need to write all the time.
Now, how much time do you spend writing? I know you spend a lot of time smoking, but the time you're not spending smoking.
I might spend like 4 hours a day, 4 or 5 hours a day.
But you have a real life. So you spend 4 or 5 hours a day writing, and you are able to move into and out of a piece in progress.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I was working on the book, I was working much longer than that.
And more intensely.
But I don't have a work visa right now. So I wanted a job. And in Paris, there's like one volunteer job, and I already did it. But in England, there's a huge volunteer network. So I have a job now.
What is your job?
I work in a drop-in center for senior citizens.
You do?
And then my ultimate job, that's a starter job. My ultimate job, I want to be a slave for people who are old and sick. I just want to go to their house, and whatever they need doing, I'll do. I don't care what it is. I mean, if they want, I'm happy to clean. I'm happy to go to the grocery store. And again, I don't have a big heart. I'm just looking for stuff to write about. And it would get me out of the house, and it puts you into the world in a way. And when you write, you're not in the world. You're just, no one's ever waiting for you. Nobody ever is expecting you to, I mean, an editor is, but no one's ever looking at their watch and saying, where is he? So I really missed that. And I can, so I got this job.
I think that's really wonderful. I wish we could lure you here to work with us. We need a slave. In the worst possible way. Desmond, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with David Sedaris and Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, David. I love your books and everything, but I had a question for you.
Sure.
And I hope it's not going against what you just said about the people walking up to you with their big book bags and everything, but mm-hmm. I write the sort of pseudo-fiction type stuff as well, and I was wondering whether you'd recommend I try to go with the whole submit your work to the publishing company route or the more unconventional, like you started in radio?
Well, generally, if you send a manuscript to a publishing house, they won't read it. It just goes into a slush pile. And they generally really don't look at anything that's not submitted by an agent. And it's really hard. See, I just completely lucked out. Because Little Brown called and they said, do you have a book? And I opened the drawer and I said, I have a book right here. And they said, do you have an agent? And I said, no. And they said, well, why don't we recommend one? So I went with him. So I was just completely lucky that way. But, and so I just lucked out by being on the radio, and it's completely unfair, right? I mean, this is not a radio voice, but I was on put on Morning Edition, and there's 10 million people that listen to Morning Edition. And so that's 10 million people who have heard your name. So that therefore the publisher was going to call me rather than call somebody who wrote a much better book and has slaved on it for 20 years and no one's ever heard of him. So, again, it's like completely unfair, and it makes no sense at all. So if you don't have an agent, I would...
Well, I have a suggestion. Try to get on the radio, Desmond. And if that doesn't work, and you can't get an agent either, do something that somebody just did, and the Wall Street Journal just reported on it, made an email pitch. And actually, the publishing house went for it. It was the editor hit the email thing by mistake and was so intrigued by the pitch that it actually worked. It bypassed the whole slush pile. It bypassed the whole unsolicited manuscript, no agent dilemma. So think about doing that, Desmond. We thank you for the call.
Well, another thing I think that when I was living in Chicago, I started reading out loud. Like somebody, I read out loud for a critique in art in my painting class. And then somebody there was putting together some kind of a spoken word kind of thing. So they invited me. And then you just work your way up the chain.
David Sedaris, it has been a great pleasure to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I am delighted that you could join us. The new book, Dress Your Family in Corduroy and Denim. David will be at Tattered Cover Lodo tonight, 7 o'clock. Go. You're going to have a great evening. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:43, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Mostly sunny and 80 degrees now. A Denver townhome caught fire this morning. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Southbound I-25 at Yale. Denver police pushing a stall out of traffic there, so watch for a little extra congestion in that general area. Everything else in the freeway system seems to be moving along in good shape. Posted speeds for the most part. Baseline Road and Highway 287, the remnants of an accident there. And we also have some problems along Lowell Boulevard between 64th and 52nd Avenues. That road is closed so that folks can repair the railroad tracks. They're talking about reopening that tomorrow night. RTD with the information. You are older, you are wiser, and you can be a little richer, too. Call 303-299-6000 to learn about the RTD half-price senior discount. RTD, drive less, save more. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
About 6:15 this morning, Denver firefighters were called to a townhome on South Ulster that was on fire. A passerby on his way to work had spotted the flames and started banging on doors to wake up the residents. Two women suffered minor burns and smoke inhalation and were treated on the scene and released. Investigators are still trying to figure out what started that fire. This report brought to you by Dex. A silo at ENC Concrete collapsed this morning, injuring one person and causing some damage to a workshop. Investigators from South Metro Fire are on the scene there at Highway 85 and Titan Road to figure out what caused the silo full of cement powder to collapse. The Denver Water Board will consider increasing the number of watering days in the next week or so. This after the board got word today that reservoirs are at 83% capacity, more than the board expected. For now, though, watering restrictions remain unchanged. Dex is your most complete source for local information in the book, on CD-ROM, and at DexOnline.com. Dex knows. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:45.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Does your gas barbecue grill pass the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality gas barbecues, including premium gas grills from MHP. Using only state-of-the-art materials and workmanship, MHP gas grills are built to withstand Colorado's harsh environment, and with MHP's lifetime warranty, you should never have to buy another. another barbecue again. Since 1961, when they invented the world's first gas grill, MHP has been leading the way in quality. Family-owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in gas barbecues, outdoor gas fire pits, and quality wrought iron furniture. At Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton, there's a Lair's near you. For premium gas grills from MHP, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio. For 50 years, Colorado's barbecue experts.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, mostly sunny skies today, clear skies overnight, down into the mid-50s tonight. For tomorrow, we'll start off mostly sunny, then see some clouds with maybe some afternoon thunderstorms, high near 80 tomorrow. Mostly sunny and 80 now, KNRC News Time is 2:46. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 3 o'clock, or when it breaks, on AM 1150 KNRC.
Want to get ahead at your job? Pay attention to your image. The way you dress can help you move from apprentice to boss.
Join me, Judy Schwartz, and my co-host, Evelinda Ehrman, from Style Matters Live. We'll show you how to dress for success at our seminar, Making Casual Work, at Tucano's Brazilian Grill at Colorado Mills on Wednesday, June 30th at 5:30.
This talk is free and open to the public, courtesy of Colorado Mills. Attendees should bring a donation of non-perishable food to benefit St. Anthony's Hospital Foundation.
We love Colorado Mills with its mix of outlet stores and regular retail shops. Everyone who attends our business dress seminar will receive giveaways and discounts at select Colorado Mills stores. One lucky winner will shop with us using a $250 Colorado Mills gift certificate.
We'll see you June 30th at 5:30 at Colorado Mills for our talk. You'll learn our tips for getting a casual, professional look at affordable prices.
Colorado Mills, 15 minutes from downtown off 6th and Indiana. Park at entry 3 and follow the signs for the street.
Check out ColoradoMills.com for store hours and great deals. Colorado Mills, where great shopping lives.
You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least five times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:48 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and then Doug Kellett takes over. And again, to remind you, there's a special edition of Style Matters tonight on obesity in America, and that's from 6 to 8, hosted by Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman. So you want to stay tuned for that. Tomorrow, just to give you a little bit of a rundown, tomorrow we're going to be, is our second anniversary of signing on the air. We have only been on the air. AM 1150 KNRC has only been on the air 2 years tomorrow. We signed on 6/24/2002. And so tomorrow's our second year anniversary. Tell your friends. That's how we have managed to be as successful as we are, because of a lot of word of mouth, and we really appreciate it. So if you like what you hear here, then what we want you to do is tell your friends all about us, especially Enid Live, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. I'm probably the only Monday through Friday non-conservative voice in the whole Denver market. And so if you want some respite, some relief from that conservative drumbeat, you want to tune in to AM 1150 from noon to 3, Monday through Friday. So tomorrow, Lisa Scottolini is going to join us. She's a blockbuster New York Times bestselling author. She's got a brand new book out called Killer Smile. Friday, we are going to be live from the Denver Press Club. It's the wedding day edition, the romance edition, the business of romance edition. Monday, Jason Saltzman will be joining us. 50 ways you can show George the door in 2004. Oh, it's like 50 ways to leave your lover. We have to talk to him about that. And I am on Air America 7 to 8 Sunday night on the Laura Flanders Show. You can access it on the net. I think it's airamericaradio.com. And the Cherry Blossom Festival, I went last year. I loved it. Go. There's no charge for it unless you decide to buy food. There's free admission. There are a lot of booths around. It's just a wonderful celebration of Asian culture. And I think the money goes to benefit the Buddhist temple, right, that's right adjacent to the Pacific Mercantile which is a wonderful store that sells Asian foods, regular foods, Asian imports, and so on. So it's a, this is this weekend, June 26th to June 27th, Sakura Square, Lawrence, between 19th and 20th, 11 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. There's folk dancing, there's taiko drumming, there's bonsai, there is ikebana, which is Japanese flower arranging, there's the great teriyaki, chicken teriyaki, which is one of my faves, and it's fun. I'm going to stop by, I think. I'm going to try and make some time to cruise by. One of the things we were talking about, well, there's so many things that we didn't get to today, but the couple things. First of all, who's going to be the best running mate for John Kerry? Looks like it's down to Dick Gephardt, if you can believe the gossip, and John Edwards. I think John Edwards head and shoulders. I don't know what the polling would indicate, but head and shoulders. Also, a bill is going to raise fines for on-air indecency. It's going to cost $1 zillion now. It went from almost nothing, to $32,500 with a cap of about $275,000 per indecency. Now, we don't even know what the indecency means. This is for radio or TV. I don't know what this is going to mean. And the max you can do, the maximum heat you can get yourself into is $3 million a day. So I really, again, because everybody was so greedy and pushed the envelope, this is what you have. This is really not good. News coming in, breaking news coming in. House panel is going to go ahead with charges. House Ethics Committee decided to proceed with its own investigation into allegations filed against House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. I can't wait to delay his continuing grasp for power. I would like to see, he is the worst. This is a former exterminator who's practicing these extermination techniques in Washington. This guy's got to go along with that regime. Daniel in Denver, first time caller. Welcome to Enid Live.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Daniel.
I actually just started watching recently. I saw you on the TV interviewing from Colorado Spoken, I believe it was.
Oh.
A couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm glad there's some relief from all that conservative talk radio. But the Bush administration and the conservatives and Republicans trying to make, their first rationale for war was weapons of mass destruction. Well, the fact is that at least I've been seeing even on the regular news is that that we ourselves gave Saddam Hussein weapons. And I believe it was in the 80s, and he used those weapons actually to kill the uprising in his own country.
Right. So what is so? What's your point? You mean that we supported him with weapons of mass destruction?
Well, at the time we gave weapons.
We know what he's got because we sold it to him. We have the receipts.
And so even their rationale that he was evil with weapons. Well, we gave him that. So we are.
Well, we didn't give him. We sold him. We try to make a profit. The other part of it is how much is that Uzi in the window? When we came into Baghdad, there were all these weapons caches, and because they wanted to get into Baghdad quickly, many of them. We didn't do anything about it. Now these are the same weapons caches that are coming back to shoot our people. It's just a real scandal what we have done there.
I know, and they talk about, well, now you see this Al-Qaeda guy, whatever his name is.
The Al-Qaeda guy?
Back. Yeah, and I'm saying, well, yeah.
I think we should call him Al-Quota.
Protect the borders.
Oh, yeah. Daniel, I thank you for calling. I'm delighted that you're listening. Thank you so much. Al-Quota. Forget Al-Qaeda. Al-Quota. It's a guy who sells siding and used cars. Not very good ones either. And doesn't seem as terrifying. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150. KNRC 303-382-1150.
No matter how you say it.
News!
It is what we do best.
News!
This is Denver's premier talk station. AM 1150. KNRC.
News!
The Orkin Man knows just because you don't see carpenter ants doesn't mean they're not trying to turn your house into a sack of sawdust. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Okay, so there's Trading Spaces, and While You Were Out, and now there's Monster House, and it all makes my own humble abode seem so bland. So where do I begin?
You can begin by spending the weekend in Vail, enjoying the 20th annual Vail Arts Festival.
Well, how does that help my home?
The Vail Arts Festival is great. It's a juried festival that brings over 95 artists from around the country to the streets of Vail's Lion's Head Village. You'll find everything from oils, pottery, jewelry, sculptures, woodworking, and more. Plus, you can enjoy it all with the beautiful backdrop of the Vail Mountains behind. You're sure to find that perfect piece that will start brightening up any room in your house.
I do enjoy those festivals.
And the Vail Arts Festival is also featuring a wine tasting tent, food vendors, live entertainment, and kids' activities. Plus, best of all, it's free.
Don't miss the 20th annual Vail Arts Festival this weekend, June 25th through the 27th in Vail's Lion's Head Village. The Vail Arts Festival is proudly sponsored by the Town of Vail and the Vail Daily.
I'm Jonathan Anton, owner of Jonathan's Salon, which can be seen on Bravo's reality show, Blowout. Take it from me, stress can make you lose your hair. I don't know this because I'm a stylist. I know it because I'm a small business owner. Fortunately, I also know which products promote healthy growth in both hair and business.
With Open, the Small Business Network, Jonathan Anton has the tools to make big things happen. To learn more about how Jonathan relies on the Open Network, go to open.americanexpress.com.
Supporting those involved in serving and protecting our country has never been more important. The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is to ensure our veterans receive the medical care and rehabilitation to which they're entitled, to provide programs that strengthen bodies and stimulate minds, to ensure access to housing, education, and transportation. To find out how you can support our nation's paralyzed veterans, call 1-866-USA-4PVA. That's 1-866-USA-4PVA.
Centrum Carb Assist is the more complete multivitamin supplement with higher levels of a select group of nutrients that help your body efficiently utilize fats and protein.
At this time, while our fighting men and women are overseas fighting for our freedoms, let's enjoy this summer. But AM 1150 KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting the terrorists.
Our enemy is a radical network of terrorists and every government that supports them.
KNRC wants to salute those who are fighting terrorism. Thanks for all you're doing. AM 1150 KNRC. While Rush is telling you just what he thinks, Enid Goldstein will find out what you think. What you think. Hear the Rush Alternative. Weekdays at noon on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC. Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:58 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're coming to the end of our time together for today. I want to remind you that Doug Kellett is up next from 3 to 6. And from 6 to 8, we have a special on obesity in America hosted by Style Matters twins Judy and Evelinda, Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman. It should be fascinating. They have covered this subject before, and it really is a pandemic in this country. If you're living in places like London or France, where David Sedaris has been living, and he says in France, in Paris, you can smoke. You even smoke, get to smoke in the hospitals, which you're going to need if you keep smoking. You will save, you will live 10 years longer in this Vale of Tears if you do not smoke. But in any event, obesity, that's one of the first things Europeans note about us when they come to this country, how porky we have become. Flabby in body. I think in some ways flabby in spirit, too, as a result. I have a lot of people to thank today. I want to thank my producer, Joe Anderson, who did a wonderful job. We got David Sedaris in very last minute. Thank you, Lisa Maxson, for that as well. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for all the good work that you do, keeping us on the air and that great music and lots of other things that go on here. We're not telling you everything that happens here. But if David Sedaris wants to be a slave, we can use him right here on Enid Live. Doug Kellett is up next. I'll see you tomorrow, noon to 3. Same time, same place. Let's have lunch together. Let's kick things around. There'll be a lot to kick around tomorrow. And you know the drill. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Try to clean up some mess, and your life will be transformed. And get involved in the community, will you? I'm Enid Goldstein. See you tomorrow right here on 1150 at noon.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
Radio, I'm Ron Kilgore. John Negroponte has been sworn in as the new U.S. ambassador to Iraq. Negroponte was the ambassador to the United Nations, and NBC's David Gregory says the new job is going to be quite a challenge.
He goes into Baghdad as the chief of mission there under very difficult circumstances at a time when the United States is trying to quell the insurgency, which threatens to derail the plans and indeed the path toward Iraq's democratic future.
The man kicked off the Scott Peterson jury today says prosecutors are not proving their case. Justin Falconer was juror number 5. He says he was taken off the jury by the judge today because there had been too much publicity when Falconer had a slight meeting with a member of the family of the victim. He believes Peterson is innocent, he says, so far in the murder of his wife, Lacey, and their unborn child. The Transportation Security Administration has been providing a lot more information from airlines than previously disclosed private information. Now privacy advocates are demanding an investigation. Ron Kilgore, NBC News Radio.
When you hear sangria, you might think fruit, party, fun. And yes, you'd be right, my friend. That is why I leap for joy over Arbor Mist Wine Blender's newest flavor, sangria. It's frosty, it's smooth. Some might even say sexy. The wine's already in there. Just add ice, blend, and ay, 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 esta bebida tiene un sabor increíble.